Hey, everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 219. I don't care if you open your pop right near the microphone, just don't get it wet. See what I have to deal with here? Children. But I'm Colin McMahon, and joining me tonight are Mrs. Smith's kindergarten class.
What?
Child one.
We have Joshy.
Davey.
Patty. Patty Manning.
Adamie.
And Addie.
That worked really well for everybody. But
yeah, what else is new?
Typical. I'm sad now. He didn't have a good name.
It doesn't work for him either.
Colony.
Colony.
Colony, I guess.
Connie?
Collie. Here, boy.
Adam fell down the well again?
Wouldn't be surprising.
Nor would anybody rescue him.
So, we are 10 days out from Free Comic Book Day.
What?
I know.
Crazy.
Right around the corner. Little bit of bad news regarding that. I'm not getting two of the books. Diamond missed a box to me when the first shipment came, and then my reorder went to back order. So, I do apologize. I will not be having the Devil's Due First comics book, and I also not have the Love and Rockets book. So,
well, what's the point of coming now?
I understand. Yeah. I canceled the back order, so when they showed up in July, I wouldn't have to pay for them. So,
what's the next closest free comic book then?
I don't know. You're going to have to search that one on your own. Sorry.
What's the place in Bridgeville?
Yeah, what's that?
See, that's the reason why Colin hates us all.
He doesn't hate us.
Yes, he does.
Okay, maybe.
He's disappointed. That's all. Do stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's not cool, man.
Sorry.
Not cool.
No, you're not.
It's okay, Josh.
You did it, too. You started it.
Did I start it?
You said, where's the next closest free comic book day?
I didn't mention anybody.
Pat, was there any news there, so we can get back on track here?
There was. I'll see.
For my disappointment.
I know. Now he's going to cry.
We all know that your place is the best. Come on.
Maybe not.
We've packed.
Probably will be packed.
You have hot dogs going.
Hot dogs. We'll have Rita's Ice in the afternoon. Tons of sales.
Are you having a vote on the flavor this year?
Oh, I forgot all about that. No, I'm going to let Sandy pack it. Pick it.
Might as well. She does pretty good.
Yeah, she's a good egg.
There you go.
Do a sweet survey.
Well, we did the blue last year, and everybody wanted mango, so I think we're probably going to do mango.
Okay.
I'd pick key lime, but that's just me.
What about Swedish
key lime? Sure, is really good.
The problem is it's bright red. If anybody spills that on the carpet, I'm dead. That will not come out.
You're the landlord. Just tell them it's blood.
Yeah, why would you be dead?
Because it would ruin the carpet.
Why would that kill you?
How would I replace that carpet? Would you like to pull all those back issues out and those racks?
No,
do you remember when
that.
Those racks came in?
I'm not saying that. I'm trying to figure out why this would kill you.
Like, I'd have to replace the carpet.
No, you would just move the back issues?
No, yeah.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I'd have to replace the carpet if that happened.
I thought somebody was like coming after you.
No, but
it
would.
Like.
That would be a huge process. That would be like a week closed.
You'd be dead because of the work.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
We would all just leave the stain.
Yeah. No. That's other stores do that. Okay,
so a couple things happened this week.
That's why you're the best.
We got a new X-Men trailer.
Yep.
Barely. At least the one I saw. Okay, I saw one that was like 4 seconds long. All I saw was Mystique screaming and then claws.
You probably saw the teaser for the trailer.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah,
I really hope I actually, when I go to the movie, I'm getting the full movie and not the teaser for the movie.
You're getting a teaser for the trailer.
There's teasers for the third trailer on a movie.
Yeah, it's the thing that comes out like a couple days before the trailer saying,
to tell you
on
be a
4 whatever 2016,
you're gonna
tune
see a trailer.
In to Jimmy Kimmel Live to watch the full trailer. Enjoy the claws.
It's more important to see the trailer these days than it is the movie.
It's an event.
No, I think it's more important to see the teaser of the trailer than to actually see the movie. So I guess maybe I don't need to see
the
movie now.
Well, I guess you know the trailer is happening.
So I saw a claw.
Do you feel teased?
I feel annoyed.
I think you should call it the annoyer.
The annoyer.
Man.
Dang.
No, but we got a tease of Wolverine, which... Forever they had said he wasn't in the movie, and obviously he is, because it's next
but
movie.
But it's not Hugh Jackman, that's what I heard. They've recast it already.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Hugh Jackman.
I heard this he's one. Not Wolverine I thought this anymore. One was Hugh Jackman, though. This was his last
no,
one.
No, he's doing Old Man
the,
Logan.
Yeah, the Wolverine 3 will be him. And then after that...
So there's
he
the
said
costume,
that he's huh? done, like, yeah, five times like, now, though.
As long as those checks keep coming, it's like today they asked Robert Downey Jr., you know, well, what about an Iron Man 4? Oh, maybe. Well, yeah, you throw enough money at him.
Well, because he says no, and then he's signed on for these Avengers movies, and then he's signed on for, he's meeting Spider-Man in some capacity.
What's he going to do?
Like Uncle Ben.
What? He's going to play Uncle
he's
Ben?
Do Uncle Ben.
Well, geez, Colin.
That's a weird twist on the mythos.
Would you do it for a Scooby snack? Mm-hmm. Would you do it for two Scooby snacks? and then Robert Downey Jr. says yes. Yeah. So,
he wants bag of soup.
Bag of soup?
You remember that from Scooby? It was the, like, the different vendors. The one had, like, the bucket of, like, Scooby snacks they buy stuff from. Then there was, like, the knockoff guy that had, like, bag of soup. You know,
don't remember that.
He was in a Scrappy.
It's one of those.
There was a trailer for The Killing Joke.
I didn't see that yet.
I did.
I did. I wasn't impressed by it. Mm-hmm. It was okay.
I lost focus during the trailer. How bad is that?
Yeah.
It was like 10 seconds of Batman walking down a hallway. And I was watching it, and then all of a sudden it was, you know, lost attention.
Yeah.
And I don't have ADD. I do not. Stop.
You sure it was the trailer, not the teaser.
It was, well, good point. It might have been the teaser.
It takes sometimes like five, I was going to say days, but... It takes a long time. Five tries to watch a show.
Sometimes. Well, that's because customers.
Yeah.
God. No, but it... the trailer didn't sell it.
Wait, are you able to watch full shows while you were here?
Oh, yeah, he has no problem. He sits in the chair and just watches.
Yeah. Kicks his feet up. Takes five sodas. Doesn't pay for them.
He gets scared.
Scared?
Scared of what?
The TV shows make you all scared.
Some of them are scary. They come out of nowhere on Hulu. We'll be watching one thing and something that we never heard of comes on.
That's one bad thing. And when it's a Hulu original and all of a sudden, you know, I'm watching Gotham and the next thing I know they're dropping F-bombs. It's like, whoa!
Can you set parental controls?
I guess. I just never thought I'd have to, you know. Yeah. I just don't understand why Hulu picks
I just wish
if we could
disable it from continuing, that would be enough.
Well, you could, but you gotta pay attention.
What the thing about that that movie that I wasn't too fond of was like, and I know they were gonna have a hard time translating the art from the book.
Yes.
Art
from,
which there.
I think that was a kind of turnout. And Mark Hamill's voice at one point was a little odd as the Joker.
Shut your mouth.
It was a very weird laugh that he did at one point. It was a little off. It was different, but I guess he has to go in a little bit different direction with this character.
Yeah, he can't do the same exact
than he can for the animated series. So we'll see.
The Inhumans movie got pulled off of Marvel's slate.
Wonder why.
Yeah, that's I can't say I'm disappointed in the least.
Are the comic book people upset because of their Inhumans book?
All 10 of them.
Because it's so important to the Marvel Universe?
Well, I think that's another product of the divorce between Marvel Studios
and
Marvel
TV. Yeah. Yeah, because the rumor was the only reason why it showed up was so that they could get a Captain Marvel movie. Mm-hmm. Kevin Feige wanted Captain Marvel. So once the divorce happened, he said, you know what? I don't want the Inhumans. They're doing them on TV. Yeah. We're getting rid of it.
Blame
you can only get so, you know
movie.
You can never get enough lash. So.
We'll do Iron Man 4 instead.
Yeah,
too expensive.
This one, not even there's no armor in the entire movie. It's Iron Man 3. He was in the armor for about 10 minutes. This one, no armor.
He was
whatsoever.
Better off. The armor in Iron Man 3 sucked. It was awful.
Sometimes the
street clothes were more powerful.
And at the end, the armor just did whatever it was going to do. Anyways,
So. Don't even need him.
You didn't even need him, no.
And then he got the reactor out of his chest, so it's kind of, why does he even need the armor anymore?
How did he use the armor in all the other movies, though, with the reactor out of his chest?
How does Rhodey use it?
Not sure. I don't quite understand that.
I don't know.
Originally, he needed that, but then I guess he put...
Rhodey's dead.
Rhodey's dead.
Well, that's my guess.
You haven't seen the movie yet.
Right. You're right.
No way.
You think so? Making assumptions.
No way. It wouldn't call Rhodey.
I read the Civil War Zero Free Comic Book Day edition.
You're not supposed to read that yet.
Yeah. I have to read all those to make sure there's no F-bombs. From what I understand, there are three or four that have F-bombs in them. Isn't that nice for all-ages books? Because I think that's good for all-ages books.
Are Free Comic Book Day books supposed to, across the board, be all-ages?
Yes.
Why do these people do this?
Mm-hmm. Luckily, I'm not getting one of them. So.
Well, the one I remember one year, and they may still do it, there was Zombie Tramp.
Oh, yeah.
In what universe is Zombie Tramp all ages?
I agree.
It's not even all ages on the cover.
No. No, even like their regular.
You don't even see the special covers.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Even on their normal cover, I don't want to see the special covers. I don't want my kids to see this.
What do you think I'm into, man?
Boobs.
Boobs.
I am into boobs.
Right. That's all you see on the covers.
Yeah, but it's zombie boobs. I'm just saying.
Boobs, boob.
Go watch Game of Thrones and then come back and tell me.
Point.
You might be watching this at the store. Okay.
Yeah. Shelley Bond, the Vertigo editor, was fired.
We talked about it, but man, that's a whole poop storm.
We broke that news during the podcast.
We did,
kind of.
We did.
Yeah,
you have more information about it.
Well, the outcry over what's his name?
Eddie Braganza.
Yeah, Braganza, because he had back in 2011, he had harassed some staffers and.
And now, like, he's supposedly, not there's not a lot of, they can't have any women working the Superman books.
Right. I feel bad for him in one regard, and this has nothing to do with what he did. But I'm sure he's sitting there as all this thing, Shelley Bond's let go, and all of a sudden, he's just getting slammed left and right.
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, the
because they're saying that somehow he did what he did, and it wasn't fireable, but they're restructuring, and this person who's been there since the very beginning of Vertigo with DC for 20 plus years. Is being completely fired. Not put somewhere else in the company.
I understand.
Whereas with him, they put him somewhere else.
They've just
his role.
Gone above and beyond to bend over backwards to protect
him. It's
like they
went out of their way to keep him. Whereas her was like,
where he should have been fired immediately. Oh, you're sexually harassing the women employees.
Like, I don't think anyone's saying that, you know, if they're restructuring that they can't get rid of a position. That's their problem. That's fine. We don't know how they're going to restructure. But what you're saying is, why would they go out of their way to keep this guy that should have been fired? Mm-hmm. Not saying whether she should have been kept around or not, but why is she fired and he's still there?
Yeah, that's all. But I could just see him saying, "What did I do?" You know, just right now.
Yeah, I get
right
that.
Now.
Like as,
but I mean, what he did
right
in the
now,
past.
I could I could see feeling bad because
not feeling
him,
bad, but it
but
just
I mean,
one
to
of
him,
those, yeah.
Everything has been resolved. Like he, you know, whatever had to happen happened. So why is he getting brought back up? But he should also recognize he probably should have been fired.
Yeah,
and there probably should have been this outcry. Sooner, it shouldn't be tied to Shelley Bond leaving, but people should have spoke up at the time.
Yeah.
Maybe they did, I don't know.
I mean, several people, I have seen tweets where people said, you know, this was all reported, they knew about it.
And... I mean, I knew people knew about it, but I don't know if there was the same level of outcry at the time as there is now.
But I think that's kind of strange, though, that, no women can work for him.
Yeah.
Like, that to me, you know, a company as big as
DC
or
if you're
going to
have a guy, like,
Brothers,
if that policy is real, because I haven't seen if it's real or if it's just rumor, if that policy is real, then that guy shouldn't be there.
Right.
If you have to have that rule in place, then he should not be an employee at your
organization. Well, but think about it. If you have a woman writer or a woman artist that wants to be there, they can't. Because of him. Like, that seemed...
No, I was trying to think. Like, I can't think of a single woman that was working on a Superman book at all in the past several years. Mm-hmm.
I heard Greg Rucka said he'd do Wonder Woman only if it wasn't under him. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things, why is he still there? But I'm sure he's one of Bob Harris's guys.
Was he overseeing Wonder Woman before?
Yeah, Wonder Woman was in the
well, then Meredith Finch.
Right. Married to the artist, and she probably is never in the office.
But I mean, she was doing that. You had Gail Simone was doing that Wonder Woman book.
That might have been before then. I don't know. I don't know.
It was like a year ago.
Gail Simone was doing Wonder Woman pre New 52.
No, she was doing that one Who's that
was
one?
Was it the Legends or
I think so.
77 or something like
something that. But you had Marguerite Bennett doing one too, I think.
Yeah. I don't know everything, but yeah.
I thought you did.
No, about inner workings at those? No.
You were our Oracle.
You were
Oracle.
There. Mm-mm.
You held up Action Comics, number one.
You were supposed to get all the information.
While wearing a Green Lantern shirt.
Yes. What?
You're the guy.
Yeah. It was funny. One funny thing Stewart said about that is people would come for the tour wearing a Marvel shirt. So he was happy I was in it. It just, you know, it was like, what, you being a dick?
Really?
So,
like,
yeah.
That's...
Oh, yeah.
And they probably make sure they got a picture at some point.
Right.
To place them in D.C.
Yeah.
wearing the Marvel shirts to be like, look what I did. I'm so clever and awesome.
Although,
be my friend.
Although, when I went to Disney World, I was wearing a Green Lantern shirt at one point.
Oh,
it's a huge good. Place. It's not like you're in their headquarters. It's like you're walking around Disney HQ wearing a Felix the Cat shirt or something. Do they own Felix the Cat? I don't know.
Probably. They own everything.
Yeah, they might. And the other thing that I saw this week was that both Future Quest and Scooby Apocalypse are going to have free previews.
I saw something about cool. that, yeah. I think that was actually on Man Voice.
I'm a little disappointed that Wacky Raceland isn't.
Probably because it's a month after.
Okay. Because I kind of want to check that out, but I'm afraid.
Well, it might be. It's a Hanna-Barbera preview book, so it might be in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm getting 150 copies.
Okay.
Getting 50 copies of a Preacher promo comic. I didn't order them. So.
Well, that's for the TV show coming out.
You get a lot of stuff you don't order. I read. I saw. I don't know if this was that Preacher book that they redrew it or something to look like the characters in the show.
Hmm.
Or I don't know how if that's true or how much of it they redrew, but supposedly that's what it is.
I can't. You know, at this point. When I see him, I just think of, Tony Stark's father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Howard Stark was a badass. He knew he was a preacher.
We'll see how good of an actor he is.
It's the same thing when I was watching Mad Men that I kept thinking, because that was the other one. The older version was the Roger from Mad Men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and he was in Ant-Man, too.
Yeah, and they used him. I don't.
I like him as Howard Stark.
I do, too. I
like him
better,
a lot as Howard Stark.
To tell you the truth. But I get why they can't, but there's no, like, similarities between those two people either.
The thing I didn't
mustache
like
all it takes.
The thing that I didn't like about the way they portrayed him in Iron Man 2 was that was straight up Walt Disney.
Yeah.
Like it absolutely looked like the beginning of Wonderful World of Disney where he's
that's what they were trying
about,
to do.
Yeah,
sure.
And I was like, that's that just seemed kinda odd.
Yeah, but like he said, I think it was intentional.
Oh no, I agree. It had to have been intentional, but I just found it odd. And that's all I got for news.
Okay. That's all you got for news?
He looks weird as hell.
Yeah, that's all I got
stand
for news.
In my spaces.
I was just trying to fill in that space.
Colin's not paying attention.
No, I was. I'm trying.
So, Colin,
yes.
What, kind of craziness? There's nothing really happening in the store, is there?
I was asking.
No.
I was pointing out to Colin that I cannot stand the cover for one of the upcoming Aquaman books after Rebirth. Aquaman number two, I guess. Just the way Aquaman looks. It's just weird.
Oh, yeah.
On the cover.
I get you.
On the cover, yeah.
Yeah.
The art, the interior art is by someone completely different. No, never mind. Art and cover by Brad Walker and Andrew. Yeah, never mind. It is the same. Inside. Regardless, that's all. I was distracting.
Sorry,
Colin.
They were distracting me. Jeez. Okay. So in the store, we have the last week of the M&Z sale, or the Alphabet sale, the last time this will ever happen.
Best sale we've ever had.
No, it'll never happen again.
Yeah. I want to,
Never
after
again.
Free comic book day, you're going to restart at A, right?
Yeah.
Do you have any? You don't have any?
No,
ideas,
just numbers, and then fruits. What?
You don't have any ideas for your next sale?
All new Apple R.
You're not that creative.
Like my May sale? No, I haven't thought about what I'm doing.
You're just
May.
Redoing your April sale.
I probably will redo my April sale, or I might modify. Ahead. That was a seat of the pants podcast one, so I might think
it's
it.
Your best
think
work
it through.
Is seat of the pants.
I think I do. I do.
You have
very
the
true.
Last week of your B publisher.
Right, well, that's what we were talking about.
We
might continue that. That's what we were saying.
Keep up, man.
No, you didn't even mention it.
We're standing here talking.
You just talked about it.
And then, then a big sale. May 7th, there might be a couple sales.
Like what?
I don't know. I haven't thought about it yet.
Is it going to be the same as last two?
Probably. If you want to search the website.
I almost posted it
It's like if you were asking what his Festivus says. Watch, change it
up. Yeah, I'll mess you up.
The only thing on the Festivus sale is he'll change up what the days are.
No, he changed up the Festivus sale this last year.
No, yeah. But, like, the previous 3 years, it was the same thing.
Didn't you say it didn't pay off? Like, people didn't...
Oh, it never pays off. Yeah.
I thought it normally did.
People don't take advantage of the sales like you think.
I could do half off action figures on a Saturday and sell one to somebody who didn't even know they were getting it. Yeah. Yeah, people don't respond. I don't know. The only one that does seem to do well is the back issue sales, but it's only like a couple people go, oh, I saw you had a back issue sale.
You asked that a while back, how people, like, what we could do to better get this information. And we never really got any responses to that either, so this is probably not a source to do it with, but I don't know.
This is the last podcast episode. We're done. People don't pay
attention. Yeah.
No, but I do think that people don't, I don't want to say don't pay attention, but like,
Sometimes I think it gave out in your bag.
Well, I gave out like in the DC previews. I don't know how many I've given out, but I've had 17 people respond. You put the thing on the website and have nobody respond on there. So it's just one of those, I don't know.
Breaks my heart.
I don't know. But it does, limit the amount of effort or things I want to do since things just kind of roll along.
Which is a shame because then it kind of all just feeds into itself.
Yeah.
You
don't do anything, then the less people pay attention, which makes you want to do even less.
Yeah, so maybe I need to start doing more.
When you do more and it doesn't work out, then you get aggravated.
Not a lot. I only get a couple responses, but I know I do get it's almost 30% opening, so people are at least looking at them.
Why don't we put like a bunch of zombies on the window?
Because in reality, 30% is about 300 people opening those up because I send 1,000.
Okay.
So those work out pretty well. I have no complaints there. Store wise, no real rant. Actually, I have one praise.
Oh my God!
Is it from me?
No.
Elizabeth. No. This is the big one.
To small publishers. A couple small publishers. And I tweeted this. I said it's small things that some of the small publishers are doing that make me want to work really hard for them. And I really do mean that. Monday, Black Mask made a big announcement of all their new books that are coming out for the rest of the year. And they sent me an email with all the information really detailed, which I thought was nice because instead of just doing a press release to, comic book resources, they actually sent me the information. Which doesn't always happen. Most of the time the publishers do that and expect me to go to comic book resources to find it, which, is a pain in the butt. I don't have time to be reading every news article. So I thought it was really nice. They sent me an email, and after they made the announcement online, someone saw it online and texted me saying they wanted a couple of the books. So when they sent that, I responded back saying, great job. I'm already hearing from people that want these. And then Matthew Rosenberg responded back saying, great, that's great to hear. Let me know if there's anything I can do. And he says that every time I email him, let me know if there's anything I can do to help, which is great.
Which makes sense because they're hoping you sell books.
Right.
And
but
you are
right,
selling.
Yeah, but
you know what? I work in sales and there's a lot of people that don't do that.
Yeah. So it's just, it's a real little touch, but I mean, even like the Four Kids Walk Into a Bank preview copy I got, which is serial numbered on the back. And, it was sent to me, and it says, to our favorite retailers. And it just makes me feel good and makes me show you guys and say, look, I'm one of the top, 200 friends of Black Mask Comics. Yeah. So it makes me feel good, and to show, it's like, oh, you could sell that. Yeah, I probably could. It's still pretty cool.
What hurts the big two from doing something like that? What stops them from doing something like that? Like Marvel and DC.
You know what?
They don't need to.
Yeah, they don't need to. Lack of my responding back to Black Mask went directly to Matthew Rosenberg. Whereas if I respond to DC, it's to their social media coordinator who might not read the books, might not, that's their whole job is to tweet and things like that.
Now it's going to Ike.
Yeah, no. Stuff like that. But then there was another one. I had tweeted to Aftershock saying thank you for having more Rough Riders in stock, so I was able to get more in because I sold out. Boom, and so often they're not there, you know, and especially with the small publishers, which is frustrating. Or, you know, I'll do a test order of two copies from some company I've never heard of. Great, I get them in. Oh, those sold really fast. I need more. Nope, sold out. It's like, okay, but now I've sold two. I will never sell more than two. And if those people don't come back and I order two number twos and then I'm stuck with number twos and never get another number one, it's frustrating because there's nothing. I can't physically get more. So I thanked them for I was able to reorder. And Adam Glass, the writer of the book, tweeted to me saying, don't forget to up your orders for number two. And I did that. It's shipping next week. I didn't realize it was shipping next week. But Monday, I had made a note. I started actually putting notes in my phone to double check when I came in. I actually was doing it when I was doing the order because I noticed like I was missing an issue. When I'm doing the order, I'm looking at the sales data. And like I could see, okay, I don't have any of this issue three. The computer, it might be past the time frame when the computer, it only watches for 10 weeks. So I made notes to reorder those and I made a note to bump up. As I was ordering number three, I made a note to bump up number two. And I responded back to him saying, thanks, you know, because you're not on FOC, which is when I normally do my order adjustments, I tend to forget about it for these smaller publishers. And then all of a sudden, I only get in four copies. I needed 12.
Yeah.
So I was able to up my order. And I said that. And I said, by the way, tell. And then I tagged Mike Martz, who's the publisher, saying we need more number ones. So then he responded back to me something and tagged in the publisher and some other people involved, you know, behind the scenes, I'm guessing, saying, hey, what can we do to get some more number ones to our friends in the Steel City? And then the publisher responded back saying, we just sent another shipment to Diamond, so get your orders in. And it's just little things, you know, where you're just talking with them, saying, hey, great, I need more of these. Great, we got them coming. Yeah, it's just, it's a little thing. It doesn't take long, but it makes me feel good. Hey, here's the writer of this book responding back to me. The company then responds back to me. I'm not being snotty. I'm not being snide.
And as these small publishers, they have to do stuff like that. If they don't do that, then nobody knows they exist.
Yeah, and show that you see exist. That all the time when, you were talking to, Fred Van Lente about Archer and Armstrong, saying how much you're enjoying it, and he responded back, thanks. Yeah. It took him 2 seconds to do that.
Yeah,
but what an impact that has on Adam, and now he feels even more connected to the book. So, I mean, it really is on the creators. That was one thing I told Josh Williamson. Did you listen to the sketch?
I did.
That was outstanding.
It was an excellent episode.
But he is very involved. It was great at the Comics Pro meetings both year. I think I said this, where I sat down and he, you know, looked me right in the eye. What can I do to help you sell more books? And so I told him, and he was very receptive. So,
and you know,
I just said, tweet when your stuff is coming out. If you have a book coming out Wednesday, Tuesday night, or Tuesday, say, hey, guess what? This is coming out, and put a link to a preview or something. And I'm like, because I can retweet you much easier than I can go through every book coming out and find the link, find the preview and find a link and post that and tweet it. But if you do it, because you only have one book coming out a week or two books coming out a week, it's a lot easier for you, and then I can retweet that. And he's like, that makes perfect sense. So I'm like, thank you. Because and listening to his, he was on the Sketch Podcast, which was a really good interview.
We have to link to that on the website.
Yeah. Overall, they've been really good, and it's very funny comparing his to Hickman's.
Mm-hmm.
Because Josh Williamson is very focused on the business of comics and understanding what makes comics sell and why sales start to drop and when it's you should be nervous and when you shouldn't be nervous and things like that. And where the Hickman one was very much, I'm putting out the books I want, whatever. They shouldn't do the $9.99 trade because that's throwing away money and stuff.
But definitely.
I think Josh Williamson definitely was looking at it more from the business. And what I wanted to say to Hickman was, I get that, but if you're going to do a series that has 10 trades...
Hickman sounded like a little
selling
bit
that
more
first
jaded.
One, yeah.
Like, Hickman sounded like someone who's been in the industry longer, which he is.
But if you just have volume one, if it's a one-volume trade, yes, don't do $9.99. If you're going to do 24 trades, make that first one $9.99 so somebody can grab it.
Yeah, like, Hickman knows that he's a guy, he's a name that sells books.
Right.
So whenever they do a $9.99 trade for
it's costing him...
It's leaving money on the table.
Right. Gotcha.
But no, it was a really good...
Yeah, Josh Williamson, he really has a passion for
it. He does.
He's very excited about
this. He sold me on the whole concept of the Flash book coming out. Because at first when I heard it, I was like, this doesn't sound that interesting. Like, everyone has
right.
speedster powers now, but hearing him actually talk about it made it seem much more engaging.
Yeah. I also like the Mitch Jarrett's one, Sheriff of Babylon.
Yeah.
That one, it was short. Gerard. It was only... No, they said it was Jarrett's. That's what they said on the...
Oh.
Or Garrett's, but it was something like that.
Garrett's, that's what Garrett's. It was, yeah.
Okay. But it was only like 15 minutes, but that was really good. He was interviewing some people at Emerald City Comic Con.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Some of them were very short, but...
Fiona Staples, one went up today.
Yeah, I listened to that. No, it was at least Monday. I was listening to it at the gym Monday.
Okay, I thought it was song.
Well, like you were saying, Josh, with the link in the podcast to the website, to your website, put up some of those other ones that you've mentioned. Like, if you have any on there, because you guys always talk about them. And I do. I want to, some of them I want to listen to, but by the time I get done, I don't remember what they're called.
He's the webmaster.
Social media coordinator.
You want to start doing my Twitter? That'd be awesome. People are probably tired of my hockey tweets.
You want me to be your content manager?
What's that other one you guys talk about a lot?
You want me to spend 2 hours a week doing this stuff? Give me a $25 credit per week on my books, and I'll spend...
It's more than that.
I'll spend
but that's actually 2 or 3 hours a week
doing your content. Talk to me after the podcast. Okay.
You know, truthfully, you do need somebody who's a little better at the content, but I'm just saying.
Wow.
I wouldn't take offense to it. It's going to help really? You in the long term.
You said the same thing.
Yeah, no. But I just really like these little guys. I mean, like, and yeah, I've talked to the Pop Goes the Icon guys.
Okay.
You know, and it's just nice when you can talk to them and they respond. And it's not a canned, you know, it's
not a canned response. It,
you know, you're talking to, you know.
Well, like you were saying, the guy in charge. When I did talk to Valiant, not only did Fred Van Lent come on and.
Those guys are really good about
it was,
getting back
they
to
They all
too.
Retweeted, like, the chief
yeah, if I tweet, any, if I tweet Dinesh, anything Valiant, Dinesh will
yeah.
He did Valiant that. Itself, which yeah. I don't know who runs that, but...
Same here. Anytime I tweet yeah. Valiant stuff, Dinesh always...
Yeah.
They retweet it, or they say something, or they like it, and it just, you know... No, you're right. It's an extra connection now that you have to
develop. Did I talk about Joyride last week?
No, because that came out this week.
Okay. I had a little Joyride story. I can't believe I didn't talk about this, but
you said you were going to talk about it in the last podcast. You said you had something.
No, it oh, okay. didn't happen until. Oh no, it he happened ran. That day.
It happened that yeah. day. Yeah, but it, not so much talking about the books. But Katie gets on the bus at 7:30, and Deck gets on the bus at 8:30. So I have an hour to kill. Normally, that's especially on Wednesday morning. That's the second cup of coffee. Try to read some of the books for that day. Especially the number ones. And I read Joyride, and I really, really liked it. And then when I closed it, I looked at the front, and it said 1 of 4. And I went, man. Because when I talk about the book, it'll explain. But there's a lot... This book has a lot of possibilities. There's no way this is a 4-issue series. And I tweeted that. I said I was really sad to see...
You may have talked about this. I remember
the story. Okay, yeah. I said 1 of 4 on the cover. It made me sad. And then
yeah,
Mel at Boom responded back... Colin, you know, done Colin, and made it. It's now an ongoing.
Because we were arguing with you that you were not the cause of this.
No, yeah, right. But no, I just. Story, yeah. But here's a little thing. Here's Mel, at Boom, who I yeah. do know, but my Twitter doesn't have my name on it anywhere. It's Pittsburgh Comics.
Oh yeah, that's
so.
That's cool
just the fact that you know he knows me by name. No, you know, I just thought that's a little touch.
It's still a really
that makes me
good
really happy.
Did, but yeah. it, being able to communicate with retailers, small yeah. businesses like that.
But it's just a little thing. You know, there was no point for an email or anything like that. And then yesterday, actually, I tweeted PNC Bank in a negative way, and they responded. Well,
those
too.
Guys suck.
Like,
so
done, Colin.
Not PNC. No. Well, they wanted to. But.
They
oh, they may have closed my account. I didn't go back. I need to go get change. I'm like, I better not go back in there. They're probably going to yell at me.
Oh, this is an in-person thing.
Yeah. Well, here, I'll give my whole PNC story. I need to deposit money. So I'm just going to go through the ATM outside. Well, there were 7 cars in line. Oh, crap. I'm not going to wait for 7 cars. So I'll run inside and just go to the ATM inside. Go inside. The ATM's down for maintenance. I'm like, great. Okay, so I go in the business line. I'm next person up in the business line, which is supposed to be for stores to... In and out quickly. Stood there for 15 minutes while the one guy was up there doing it. And there's still, you know, there's 9 people inside in the other lane for the one teller over there.
Right.
And finally I said, I got to get to the store. I got to get here for the delivery. I just left. And as I'm sitting in the car at the light, I'm like, thanks, PNC. You know, another, you know, awesome customer service making me wait 15 minutes while the guy does a mortgage application at the teller window. And then they responded back, and I said, you know, it wouldn't be so bad if there weren't 8 non-teller employees wandering around aimlessly and congregating at the front table.
Right.
When I'm standing in line for 15 minutes, because you only have 2 tellers on staff at 9 a.m. on a Tuesday. And they're like, oh, well, we'll try to do better. You know, we'll get someone out there to fix that ATM. Like, I'm like, well, I'm sure they know the ATM is broken.
Response,
yeah,
like,
it was
very blah. But I know if I go now, oh, you're the
angry
one that...
customer response.
Yeah. Yeah. But I know if I went back there, oh, you're the guy that complained. Yeah.
F1.
Yeah.
F-U.
But no, so yeah, just I really enjoy, you know, the small press guys. It's not hard to get our attention, but it has a big impact. It makes me really want to work. I mean, I would not normally order 20 copies of a little small press number one, I did for 4 kids walk into a bank. So, but by them sending me that, and just in general, I like these guys. I like Matthew Rosenberg. I liked his book.
Are they ever coming out with a Young Terrorist number 2?
Yeah, it's coming. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that came out a while ago.
Well, they had a 3-month stoppage while they were in lawsuit with someone in their production process.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah. So, it's coming, just everything got kind of messed up. So, but yeah, that's all I got. No real rant.
Except for Patsy Bag.
Not mad. Well, yeah, that's different.
No comic book rant, though.
Yeah. No.
Nothing to do with the comic.
So I think that's it. That's a podcast. Oh, wait.
That's mine.
Sorry.
Sure.
So who's starting?
I can start.
You want to talk about some comics, Josh?
Yeah, just give me. Talk for a second while I find my list.
Blah, 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 blah. Yep, Josh is using his phone.
Yep.
That's not talking. That's random noises.
Yours is blah, blah, blah. That's not talking either.
Man. But this was a really good week of books. I can't believe how much good stuff came out this week. The week before. The week before Free Comic Day is always big because they know we're going to have lots of people in the store on that week to sell stuff.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, to see extra stuff.
Yeah. So it's, I'm glad that people actually think about it and put stuff out for that week. Yeah. You know. So, what did you read last week, Josh?
Well, first one I mentioned, All New Hawkeye, mainly mentioning because this apparently is the last issue, which I didn't know until I was reading a...
All over Hawkeye.
Well, I was reading a review statement
on it. Good thing they relaunched it. It's
saying
the new number
one. You know, this is Jeff Lemire's last issue, which I thought, okay, I guess maybe someone else is coming on, but looked at, no, this is just straight up like either Phantom canceled or Lemire had... a year-long story, which that's what his run was, even though it was broken in half. The exact same story picked up where it left off. Nothing changed after Secret Wars.
Okay.
It was like a large arc that just got broken into 2 volumes.
Okay.
Two renumbered volumes. But it was fine. It was... The all-new, all-different section of his run. The first 3 issues flip-flopped.
No, was that the issue? Was that the... Was it that one?
No. That was the number 5, I think.
Okay, so it was number 6.
This was number 6.
Okay. Okay.
So the first 3 issues, it was focusing on the stuff with the 3 kids, Project Communion, in the modern times. It was flash-forwarding to the future, showing what happened, how they handled the situation in the current times, affected things down the road. And also we were seeing
this is where you have to I'm sorry just interrupt I have the solicit for it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where you have to read between the lines with Marvel, which is very, very frustrating. So solicit: a young Kate Bishop understands the kind of man her father truly is. A wiser Clint Barton gives his all to prove that he's someone Kate can trust. This climactic story forever redefines what it means to be part of Team Hawkeye. Now, by reading that, because they use the word climactic, it's clear that this is the last issue. And that's what they will tell us. Why didn't you tell us it was the last issue? Well, we said it was the climactic story. So you should have known.
That's like
Deadpool 3.1. In the thing it says, because it takes place in Mexico, we should have assumed that it would be all in Spanish.
Yeah, I was surprised that you were surprised when I said it was the last issue.
But they don't tell. That's all they said. They didn't tell us.
What would you take that as? I'd take that as that's the last arc. Like, that's the arc of the story. It'll continue.
Well, I think all of these all-new, all-different books that are done, I don't think any of them, they said flat out that they're canceled its last issue.
But they never told us that.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think they told you guys anything. But so the first three issues of this all-new, all-different one jump forward in the future to show, you know, how things turned out with Clinton and Kate and these three kids from Project Communion. The next three issues... Still focusing on the current storyline, but then flashing into the past to show Kate's kind of origin, just like we saw before, all new, all different, where we flash back to see the Clinton Barney in the circus, origin. It was okay, just with all these issues jumping between time periods, it just felt really kind of disjointed, and the pacing was really kind of killed by it. And also, this Project Communion storyline, it just felt like it was going on forever, I guess, because it was.
Who's the writer of that book?
Lemire. I like Lemire quite a bit. Jeff Lemire and Ramon Perez was on art. And the art was great. The writing was fine. Just, I don't know, I think the all-new, all-different Secret War stuff just kind of killed it a little bit. And this issue really just kind of brought Clint and Kate back together as a... I don't want to say as a team, because she still wants to, go off on her own a little bit, but kind of mended their relationship a bit, because they've kind of had a falling out throughout Lemire's run. But, I mean, it was fine. It was a bit anticlimactic for the climactic, forever changing issue. But, yeah, it was just okay. We'll see what happens next when they relaunch this again. But I'd be curious to see if I mean, we'll never find out for sure, but I'm curious if this was the plan to end it, because Lemire only had the story, or if it was because of numbers thing. How was it selling since the...
Every time they relaunched it, it dropped. Like, really? Hickman's, or not Hickman, Fraction stuff did very well, and then Lemire started well and dropped quickly, and then this one started much lower.
Yeah. Action Comics, number 51. This was part three of the Super Team, Super League storyline. This one was okay. I didn't like it as much as the other ones. What?
Angela's back in the Guardians of the Galaxy. Well, since she doesn't have her own book anymore.
Oh, I see.
Spider-Man 29.
So this one had Clark trying to find Supergirl, because he wants her to pick up the mantle after he's gone.
Maybe.
So he finds out that she is at the DEO, and he assumes that she's being held against her will.
And breaks her out.
So he busts in, breaks her out.
What are you doing? They're curing me.
And then that's when we find out that she was having similar issues to him with her powers, so she was going to them for assistance. And then he takes her to the Fortress of Solitude and kind of bequeaths it to her, gives her the key to everything, asks her to take his place once he's gone. And then also we have this wacky guy who thinks he's Clark Kent going to the Daily Planet, talking to him like he knows them, but then also flipping out and getting very violent. And looks like he has some sort of inner voice talking to him as well through the process. Mm-hmm. He has the same powers as Superman, but something's very off about this guy.
Yep.
So we'll see where that goes. I don't know if that's going to be leading to Rebirth. This whole arc feels like it's just setting up for Rebirth, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad, but this issue was just a little bit of a dip, I think, for me. But you said you liked it quite a bit.
This one was good. I enjoyed this one. The next one was really good.
Another one from today?
Yeah, today's was really good. Superman, Wonder Woman, yeah.
Bloodshot Reborn, number 12.
Yeah, I read that.
Yeah. This issue was straight up vengeance.
Yeah.
Against the Shadow Men gang. We have Ninjak and Bloodshot, in Ninjak's awesome, not Batwing, plane.
Totally not Batwing.
Yeah, just before it gets shot down, and we see Bloodshot going to full badass mode.
There's a parachute. Don't need it.
Don't need it. And he's goes crashing to the ground, lands on his ass, and then Ninjak's like, "That was pretty dumb. I'm fine." But it was just straight up him trying to figure out why they targeted his village, and finds out that, they were there after him. And we saw in some flashback sequences where it was him and Magic together, and she thought he's just being paranoid about things. But he wasn't. People were,
they
after
were
him.
Watching,
were watching him and targeting him. and they're leading them towards this man in a tower that, you know, sent them his way, who don't know who it is, but it looks like they're, you know, close to finding out or close to getting to the person really behind all of this. I'm not sure how many issues this arc is.
I think it's said to be concluded.
Okay, so one more.
Yeah, issue. I think.
It's been great, though. I've really enjoyed it, and I love that this book...
The art in this issue I thought was great.
Oh, the art's fantastic.
That issue was all about the art.
Oh, yeah, the art's really fantastic. Louis LaRocca is on art. But it's been absolutely incredible. Some of those, like, you know, bigger spreads, like the page when he's jumping out of the plane.
Yeah.
You see him?
Yeah,
it's just, awesome. It's so detailed. And the way he does the panel layout, it's great.
The color, too. And the colors, I thought, did a really good job.
And I love, with this, they've been putting it in that prestige format.
Mm-hmm.
So it has the nice, like, hard covers to it. And then the back, we get the commentary where we're looking at some of the pages, and they're splitting. Yeah, they're split into three sections. So we see the layout, the rough layouts, the inks, and the colors. And then this one had commentary by Jeff Lemire, talking about different, you know, parts of it, specifically talking about, you know, the art, Louis LaRocca's art. But it's for the same price as the normal, you know,
the normal book.
To get in this prestige format's been nice. I think this one's been like that since the very beginning. I think I could be wrong. Maybe it's just this arc, but I know for a while they've been.
Yeah, I was reading the trades for the first two arcs, so this is.
I thought it was just this arc, but I could be wrong.
Maybe I have to look at the previous arc, but regardless, it's nice.
Yeah. Oh well, yeah.
Divinity 2. Any of you guys check that out?
Mm-mm.
No.
So Divinity 1 set up the storyline for this initially, where back during the whole, you know, like race to the moon, whereas the U.S. was focusing on the moon, Russia decided to set their sights a bit higher, and they were training three elite astronauts to go on this mission to the, you know, furthest reaches of the known galaxy or known universe. I guess galaxy, yeah. So they trained these three astronauts. They made sure they didn't have any ties to Earth, no one, you know, that they were leaving behind, so that way they could focus on nothing but their mission, nothing, you know, but the USSR, and they go off on this mission. The mission is supposed to span decades. They get to this, you know, the outer reaches, and something happens. And one of them is given these incredible godlike powers and immediately begins his journey back to Earth. When he gets back to Earth, we found out before this, but he had left behind this woman who was pregnant with his child, so he didn't, you know, abide by the rules that were in place. And he didn't really buy into everything, you know, that was instilled in him culture-wise, the Soviet culture. And he wanted to kind of make things, change things for the better, and really just wanted to be, you know, find his daughter that he never met, and this woman left behind. Well, this new miniseries focuses on another one of those, you know, cosmonauts that were sent out. And this woman has a very different backstory than he does. She was living on the streets as a kid, and this doctor found her in this, like, really, really gorgeously done, disgusting panel of her on the streets, in the snowy streets, about to eat this half-decayed rat because there's nothing else for her to have, and he finds her and takes her in, and, you know, raises her, he and his wife raise her as if she's their own, but to him, she's more of an experiment. Whereas to his wife, you know, she treated her like she was her daughter. And the girl, you know, says how, like, she feared him. She called him you know, Papa because she feared him. She called her mama because she, you know, cared for her. But once the mom died, she no longer had anyone that she cared about. So she became a perfect, you know, candidate for this program. Mm-hmm. She, you know, trained and trained and trained, became the best, and was sent by the Soviets as kind of like the control for the other two to keep things in line. So it then we're seeing right after Abram got his powers and left, that they're crashed on this planet, her and the third cosmonaut. Talking about how he abandoned them, he was a traitor, and she's the one guy's hurt, and she's trying to figure out what's going on, where they're at. The art in this section is incredible. Like, the colors really pop, give it a super, like, cosmic look to it. And she decides the one thing that he did differently that they haven't done yet is Abram took off his helmet, and that's when suddenly he changed. So she decides to try to take off her helmet and sees what happens. So she takes off the helmet, and she suddenly gets, you know, these weird powers. Like, she immediately vomits this crazy, you know, like, glowing, you know, pink substance. Her eyes just change like this white, you know, glow. And suddenly she knows what she has to do. And she finds a way to, you know, rebuild one of their crafts. And she uses the third cosmonaut to power it, essentially. She takes his helmet off so that way he gets his powers, but he's still injured. And then she, you know, slams him down on one of these spikes and ties him to the craft to kind of jumpstart it using these powers. And she gets in the craft and makes her way back. And as she's coming back to Earth, she's getting these ghosts of radio transmissions over the years and finding out that the Soviet Union that she left behind
Not
yeah, the current Soviet Union, and how people betrayed, you know, their culture and their legacy. And she is the embodiment of that Soviet Union. So she wants to use her powers to bring it back. And she gets back and some soldiers confront her, and she immediately takes them down and makes her way to Putin, essentially. And she...
Is he wearing pants this time?
He was wearing pants. But she confronts Putin, and he has been expecting her. And even before she gets there, they say she's back. You know, and she says that she wants to make, you know, bring the Soviet Union back to what it should be. And she asks if he will help her do it. And he, you know, he agrees. But it was a really cool issue. And I wasn't sure how they were going to do it. I thought maybe it might be... Thought it might be kind of boring if they're going to just show, you know, the same thing again. Essentially, I wasn't expecting to show a completely, you know, other side of the coin, which is what we're getting with this other cosmonaut. And I almost think for first issue, this was more compelling to me than the original Divinity's first issue, which I loved a lot. But this was great to see this person come back, and this many decades into the future, seeing what has happened over the years. And then I thought it was great having them actually have Putin in there, and Putin being a bad guy in the book, which they said is going to happen be that way throughout the entire miniseries, which is kind of cool. Next for me is... Oh, my list went away, Colin.
I'm sorry. Hold on. Didn't do it.
No, you didn't do it. It was stupid Apple mail.
Jerks.
Yeah, I know. Jerks is right. I didn't get... Legends of Tomorrow. Can you guys read Legends of Tomorrow?
Not yet.
This has been a very surprising book for me.
I really liked one.
I liked two of them quite a bit.
No, man, I liked issue one.
Oh, issue one. Okay, I think I meant one story. So I find that the story that I care the least about is the Metamorpho story.
I don't mind that one. It's the first one. Firestorm, I don't really... Not a lot going on in the Firestorm story for me.
Which Firestorm is it?
It's New 52. Okay. Yeah, they actually
mentioned it's New 52, it. But it's written as like a Silver Age, Firestorm book. The Firestorm story is okay. Not a whole lot's going on. You're right. It's focusing on Jason. The Matrix is not stable with him right now. So they had this issue ended up with the Matrix being taken from him and being put into Stein. And they say it's a permanent thing, so now Stein and Ronnie are...
And I think they mainly did that because of the TV show.
Yeah. Next, Ronnie will go, then he'll bring... Yeah.
Jax.
But the biggest surprise story here is the Sugar and Spike story.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. I freaking love the Sugar and Spike story in here. This one has them...
I like it like I like Perez. Like, it has that kind of feel to it. Where it's kind of on its own, but it's in the background of the superhero world, but it makes fun of the superheroes a little bit.
It like, just it
why
feels,
does Batman have a crazy amount of colorful costumes?
It just
why?
Feels very like fresh and different.
Yeah.
Whereas the Metamorpho and Firestorm just felt like they're trying to retell a Silver Age story.
Yeah, not bad stories, but this is very creative.
Yeah, but this was just so different. Like, so this one, Superman needs their help.
Yeah.
And we find out that Superman at one point was hoarding all of the kryptonite, and instead of destroying it, he thought it'd be wise to just put it in, like, this vault.
Yeah.
And they even asked him, like, why didn't you just destroy it? And I was young and didn't know better.
And the whole thing of what he has, though.
Well, then he says that he made an island and was storing it there. And they find out that he made the island in his likeness. So it's this giant island that's shaped like Superman. And he didn't...
Because where's the first place you're going to look for a secret vault that Superman is hiding?
Yeah.
An island shaped like Superman.
And he didn't know to make it in international waters, I guess. Then the land rights ended up being bought by someone else. And now they're putting a resort on it.
Yeah.
So he needs to send them there to find this vault and get the kryptonite before it gets into someone else's hands. Mm. So they go there. And when they get there, they find out that the construction workers... are being terrorized by these, you know, toys.
Toy robots.
Toy robots that have come to life with guns and are holding them hostage to find out what's hidden on the island, because since it looks like Superman, the island,
exactly.
That clearly Superman must have stuff stored there that
they're not
they
even
get.
Looking for kryptonite. They're just looking
stuff,
for something.
Just stuff.
Yeah.
It looks like the island looks like Superman, so there must be stuff there.
Yeah.
So Sugar and Spike have to try and stop that threat and also find this
vault.
They
don't really want to.
No, well...
Well, Spike does that.
Spike wants to help out.
Yeah.
Sugar wants to get the job done. But it's really fun and funny,
like,
and it's a great idea. And like you said, that island came from some previous
story. It had to. I remember it being...
The Batman outfit came from a previous story as well.
Yeah, it did, definitely. This had to, because where they got that idea from, but stealing from something like that.
Yeah.
It's really, you know, this nice anthology book is kind of neat, nice too. And not a lot of those do very well. Like, they had the DC Presents when New 52 came out. It didn't do as well, but,
And Metalman's been good. I like the Metalman story. The Metalman story doesn't feel like a Silver Age story. It feels like a current story.
It feels
which is
current.
Good. Which is surprising me, because Len Wein's writing that, Swamp Thing story, which does kind of feel like a Silver Age story.
Yes.
So I was worried.
It feels more even past that, maybe even bronze.
Bronze. Yeah.
But the Metamorpho story, I get what you're saying, because, like, not a lot has happened. I think the next issue might have more interesting things happening, because he puts that he takes the orb back. It turns out that he was supposed to be there the whole time. To put that orb in,
that
it was
be.
In the hieroglyphics. They go, and it looks like they go back in time or something. And Kanjar Roe is in it, which I haven't seen him since, like, Green Lantern. He was in the, when they hired a bunch of, like, villains to be lanterns for a little while during that thing. But no, it is. It's been good. It's really worth getting, even if the price is, what is it, $8? It's an $8 book.
Yeah,
yeah.
But you're
really
getting
you're getting
four full size comics in it.
Yeah,
those aren't cut short at all. They're massive.
And they're really good.
I was worried when they said they were combining this into one book that we're going to get pared down.
I thought that
issues,
too.
But no, it's
we're not. No.
Yeah, this is
really
four full size.
In Firestorm. He keeps passing out at these interviews, and I could have sworn he was poisoned at this one.
Yeah.
Like, I swear that's still what's happening in that, because
looked like
she
hands
him the drink, and then she's just, like, jerk or something like that as he walks off, and I'm like, she obviously...
I thought that also.
And I think that's what's causing the whole issue, that he can't do what he's doing, because it might be his attitude, because he's had he's been nervous and worried about this interview.
They always have his character with, like, a crappy attitude,
And it's just, I don't know, this book is, it's really good. I'm happy I picked it up.
So, me too.
Yeah. I'm happy Comet sells books like this here.
I try.
You know, quality stuff.
Or you can always find another store nearby.
All right.
There are none nearby.
According to Adam, there are.
Why you gotta bring it back up again?
Yeah.
People forgot by now. You just remind me.
Angry.
Why are you so angry?
Release the hate.
Yeah.
Have some Kraken.
You need to take a yoga class or something.
You do need a yoga class.
Yeah.
Maybe use some of those Lululemon pants or something. You'll be good.
Yeah. Title of the podcast.
No, I can't do pants every
week.
Show
pants theme every week.
Colin wears Lululemon.
No.
That's a new image for the front page.
Just call it Lulu.
No.
Superman, Lois and Clark, number 7. So this issue we have John finally finding out who his dad is and who he is.
Lex.
So as Lois and John are, you know, in danger from these these guys who Lois is breaking a story on, and there's, you know, fire all around them, and they look like they're about to die. John realizes that the fire is not hurting him, and he can get to the door and help them both escape. And then at the same time, whenever Clark shows up to save them, he realizes that, you know, his dad has superpowers, and he looks very much like Superman, and he's wearing the crest. And they've lied to him all this time. So we get a little bit of, like, you know, preteen angst going on. But then he quickly comes around and realizes how awesome it is, and that he may, you know, also be able to do these things. But it was, this has been a really good series. This definitely feels like, you know, from the solicits and everything that's been going on, that this is going to be our, you know, Clark Kent and Superman after the rebirth, which is fine. It's, I mean, it's been a more Superman-y feeling Superman book than the other ones. It's true. Except for this other Superman book, which is freaking fantastic every single issue, Superman American Alien. Colin, what did you think about this issue?
You know what? I liked it. I was
getting a pain?
No. I was.
He's been all butthurt this episode, so I'm going to try and throw him a bone. All
right.
The only thing I didn't like about this, I thought this was a good episode too. I wanted to see the next step from last issue.
Yeah.
Where he confronted Lex and wrote on the window and stuff.
It jumped further than you.
Right. Further
than
I wanted.
But I think that's what he's wanted to keep them all disconnected.
Yeah. No, I get it. But when I went into that going, okay. Oh.
Yeah.
And basically what this was, because growing up in Smallville, everybody there knew he was Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or that he had these powers. So here it is. It's Pete Woods and I want to say Jimmy. I don't.
Kenny Braverman.
Oh, okay.
Pete Ross.
Pete Ross show up in Metropolis to visit and know he's Superman. And they're talking to him like, "Oh man, why are you wearing that cape and cowl?" He's like, "If you ever try, you need the cape. Have you ever tried to turn while going so fast?"
He's not wearing the cowl anymore.
Okay,
he has a different cape now.
Okay,
now he's in his actual outfit.
But it was just really enjoyable, and he came off as a bit of a jerk.
Yeah, so, like, he seemed like he was treating this all very casually, the whole Superman thing. And Pete was getting very angry about it, and finally they had, you know, this big blowout fight about how back in, you know, Smallville, like, they are counting on him. Like, this is a very important thing he's doing, and he shouldn't be putting himself in so much risk if he doesn't really care about it, or if it's just, you know, something fun to do because he has these powers. And it leads him to kind of storm off and almost, you know, killed himself when he flew up into space and then realized he couldn't breathe and, you know,
runs
quickly,
into Eben Sur.
Yeah, he quickly looks like he went into a bit of a coma or passed out, and then Eben Sur found him, and we find that they've been watching him for a while now. And he saves him and sends him back to Earth. But
he also finds that he didn't know he was Kryptonian.
Yeah, he didn't know. Yeah, this is where he finally found out where he's from and some of his backstory. But it's been, I keep losing my voice. It's been a really great series. This has been one of the best Superman series I've ever read.
So. As someone who doesn't typically like Superman, I've really enjoyed this.
Yes. Now, this is, Max Landis has been knocking us out of the park from issue one, and I really wish that he was on some sort of Superman book after Rebirth, but he's not, sadly. Tokyo Ghost, are you guys reading that?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yep.
So, this is a very graphic issue.
All the way from the beginning, like...
Yeah. Yeah, this is a super graphic issue.
I read on
Twitter, Sean Gordon Murphy and Rick Remender saying that they each do things to try and one-up the other person.
Yeah.
Like Rick Remender with the story and Murphy with the art. To try and, you know, like, piss off the counterpart. And it just leads it to this whole thing of escalation where it just keeps getting, you know, worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
Until finally we end up with, you know, what we had in this issue. Which is great. We have Flack, who is very much channeling Donald Trump in this issue. And Led Den is back in his service, fully wreaking havoc on everyone who might stand in Flack's way, and we find out that Tokyo, you know, was completely decimated and has been, you know, taken over by Flack and his you know, peers are trying to make an exodus to Tokyo. And then we have Debbie, who, you know, came back and is almost, you know, like a ghost trying to put a stop to things.
Yeah, which comes, brings the namesake of the book.
Yeah. Yeah, we found out she's the Tokyo ghost.
Yeah.
Mm. But fantastic.
It was a good issue. What was cool, how they made it, the beginning of the book, kind of within the story itself, summed up what has been happening.
Yeah.
Because we had that break. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was just a really well done way, because it felt like a good transition into the next
part. It did.
It's a good book, though. It really is. But it is a very graphic book. Very graphic book.
Like, the part with the reporter.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah, like...
it was so sudden. I wasn't expecting it.
He was just asked the question, and then he's just right into it. Like, that's literally what happened, yeah.
Like, Black's sitting there with just a, like, a button-down shirt that's unbuttoned on and nothing
else.
Which
is what he does.
Yeah.
That's usually how he dresses.
Yeah. And there's this dude interviewing him, and it's playing it up like, you know, how Trump can say anything and his supporters will just, you know, continually, you know, support him and follow him and do, you know, walk off a cliff for him, or in this case, drop on your knees and just start going to town.
Yes, and that's what kind of happened.
On Flack.
Reporter?
The reporter, yeah.
Which it's also, I think,
the reporter's like, threw the mic over his shoulder, like, dropped to his knees and just...
He was basically like, this is the best thing I've ever heard. You're right. You know, and he threw the mic.
It was so unexpected. But it works for the story. Like, the way they set the story up, it just does.
It's like, not like it's you don't get to graphic.
Yeah, you don't get to think, oh, what the hell was this? Like, yeah. It
goes to the fact also that he owns the media.
He does.
So he, you know, they just agree with him. They report it. And, right? That's what happened.
Oh, you went and looked?
Well, you kept saying it was so graphic, and I'm like, okay.
You're like, oh, how bad could it be?
Yeah, how bad could it be? And I look at him.
I mean, even the
did
guy.
Did you see the reporter part?
Yes.
Okay.
Even the guy who was Pie, like.
Oh, yeah, the pie guy. I forgot about.
Throughout the whole beginning, he was the one who summed up the last issue.
But I forgot about
and,
yeah. There
every time he, I've never been besides Intragon. I've never been that annoyed though by reading all these rhymes and I'm just going through. I'm like, when is this rhyming gonna stop? But it was funny. It was just, and he was pretty nasty too. The art though, and I know we talk about Sean Murphy art a lot, but the way he draws vehicles.
Oh,
he loves drawing cars.
It's just really, if he brought out just an art book of vehicles,
he is.
Is he
under
on
the
Kickstarter
hood
right now? Under the hood.
Okay. So did you do it?
What,
the Kickstarter?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you get the email update that they've added a retailer tier right after I did it? Pissed me off.
Well, you can go back and modify it.
But it's not a tier. It's like, if you want to order stuff, contact us directly. I'm like right after I.
So what do you have to do on the Kickstarter for, like, what, you know?
You give them money.
Yeah.
Well, I know that.
They send you a book.
What are you getting?
Yeah. For $35, you get
$44.
After shipping. 35 plus shipping. Uh-huh. You're surly right now.
Only because I would have ordered 10 for the store.
Email, let me just say, hey, can I?
Just sign up for yoga.
If he wants it, maybe he'll buy your book and you can do the retailer.
There we go. Okay.
But it's a, I think an 80 plus page art book.
Yeah, more than that.
Yeah, I know they added some. And for $35 plus shipping and handling, $44.
$9 shipping and handling.
You get a signed hardcover. They also, added in like an eight page comic that's going to be fully colored. And I think everyone over the $20 tier is getting a print of some sort. But yeah, his Kickstarters always work out well. Like, I did the Cafe Racer 100,000 pledges on New Tears. We both did the Cafe Racer Kickstarter. It's always. You've done Kickstarters before, right? Haven't you?
Yeah, a while back.
100 page book.
For something. 100
pages.
I don't know what it was.
But this is, it's all focused on, you know, cars, and I think it has a big, like, Datsun focus to it. There's a tier where he will take
All gone again.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. There's a tier where he will take Datsun Matchbox cars and draw like a little sketch on the back of them.
Wow.
But yeah, it's all focused on that. There's a...
Which, you know, I... Chrononauts is where I really loved his usage of drawing, how he drew vehicles, because he had so many vehicles in that book. This, I thought the blimp... I thought the blimp was really well done. They had, like, it was a regular blimp, but where the control area was held, it was held by, like, a talon. And it was flying off, and I thought it was just really nice.
Do what you want here, but let me just say, this, I think, is your favorite current combo creator. And I think you would be giddy as hell if you got to talk to him for a half hour and interview him. Do what you want. I'm just saying. I do not think you would regret this decision.
What, like right now?
Colin and I were looking at the tiers right now, and there's a Skype tier. It's $100 for a half hour. You know, I think you get a book plus a half hour.
That's worth session. It, Colin.
And we joked before that he should do it and have him on the podcast for a half hour, if he's cool with that. And it was all full, but now it looks like there's a spot available.
Do it. Do it, Colin.
I just want to make sure I undid the other one. Okay.
Oh, so you can change it to
that's what I wanted to make sure I could change it from that one to this one.
How many of us here talk about his work, too?
$10 shipping.
It was $9.
Yeah.
Did you do it?
I did it.
Did you feel like tingles?
Yeah, better have a really good free comic book day.
To make up what, that's $70?
No, not even, no, it was only 55. Well, 65.
I think you'll make $55.
55,
I think you'll be all right.
Yeah. I didn't realize things were that tight.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Now, not to say that this is happening on the podcast yet, though.
No, but.
No, he might say, I don't want to do it on a podcast. Yeah. But
he's done podcasts before.
Fingers crossed.
He's done a couple of the sketched.
Yeah.
We just don't want to promise anything to people.
It was a real podcast, though. Not this back alley garage thing we're doing here.
This is a real podcast.
We only have 11 reviews on iTunes.
Have they not listened to the Scott Snyder episode? And the last one Scott was like Snyder episodes ago. that we had?
It's a real podcast. We just don't have enough listeners.
Oh, well, okay. I think it covers it for Tokyo Ghost.
Yeah. All right. It's good. It is. It's a really good book.
David?
Man, we're going to have to plan, like, real questions and stuff. Well, I got to do that Monday. Monday, we're filming the next Comics Now episode where I'm interviewing the Valiant guy.
You suddenly, your disposition seems to have just, you know, gotten better as soon as you click that button, now that you know you're going to get to talk to Sean Gordon Murphy.
That's pretty damn cool.
Still need some yoga, man.
Yeah.
Don't wear the pants during that.
Yeah. Don't wear the
don't wear pants during your interview?
Don't wear the Lululemon pants.
Oh.
Don't show off your lemons during the interview.
Yoga.
Okay.
I want to point out, just as Dave was starting to talk, you turned and said something.
I'm sorry.
Why do you hate Dave? Dave?
The Criminal 10th Anniversary Special by Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips was excellent. It was really cool. If you're not familiar with the Criminal books, in each arc, it's a story about, you know, a different person, a different criminal, and throughout all the arcs, you know, the characters kind of interact. A major character in one arc, you know, will show up for, you know, a few panels in another arc. But this story was about a guy who's on the lam from the police for some reason. And but the story's told through his 10-year-old son, his son's eyes. And he doesn't know what's going on. His dad disappears during the day, trying to find people. Like he wants to find some girl, and he thinks she works at a restaurant, so he tells his kid to go in there. And
what book is this, Dave?
Criminal.
Thank you.
Criminal.
Yeah, I never finished Criminal. I only read the first couple of issues, and I really wanted to read this. So sorry,
I love Ed Brubaker.
It's really this is really good.
I haven't finished Fade Out yet, but Fade Out was. You know, really
can we get a new artist? I'm kidding.
Shut your mouth.
And so he meets a girl, and his dad is, he meets a little girl, and they become friends, and his dad has told him, you know, don't become friends with anything, because, you know, when you're a criminal, you shouldn't, being friends, you know, with somebody, that makes you memorable, and you don't want to be remembered when you're going to these small towns. And it turns out that he killed a guy, and he's trying to find people who know about this and taking care of them, you know, in what are those called again? What are those called?
What? That?
Air yeah, quotes. Quotation marks.
Air quotes.
I couldn't think.
I didn't know what you were asking.
Yeah, 20 years. I don't know. What do you want, Dave? What do you want?
But antenna.
He takes care of them, in quotation marks. But the cool thing in the story, too, is throughout the issue, the kid is reading... The kid is reading a comic book called Fang the Kung Fu Werewolf.
Okay, that explains the cover of the magazine side.
So, yes. So, interspersed throughout the issue are these pages from... Kang the Kung Fu Werewolf, which is kind of done in the style of a 70s Marvel comic book, like Werewolf by Night or Amazing Spider-Man or something. But it's a really good story. Next is, how about Huck?
Yep, I read that.
Huck number 6. Last issue of the series. Kind of wraps everything up, and it kind of has a happy ending, which I was happy about. Fits the tone of the story.
Yeah, it had to have.
Yeah.
I think it's summed up really well. And I'm sure it'll continue. This is Mark Miller, though. Yeah. I'm sure there will be a sequel to this.
Yeah. They kind of take care of... they're captured by the Russians at the beginning. And fighting these robots. Tom turns out to be a robot.
Yeah. The one he thought was his brother was a robot. They were trying to lead him to Huck to find his mother. So they, you know, because Huck, his power was finding things, basically. He was also super strong and everything, but he could find things really easily. So
yeah.
They assumed that they found Huck, they would be able to find the mother.
Right.
And they'd kill two birds with one stone. They get captured by the Russians, and they're at this secret base holding them. And the doctor who was studying Huck's mother beforehand... captures them and he's basically wanting to restart the program because the robots he makes only last
right,
for so long.
Right. Okay. Right.
But yeah, they go in. They want to let's see. The robots are trying to fight him. He's able to get through the glass.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work out real well. You don't get to really see the fight going on. You see the conclusion, though, and, like, they just get thrashed, like,
yeah.
He ends up.
Yeah.
And the doctor comes in later on. He knows they go track him down in his van because they were taking him in, like, an old truck, and they're like, yeah. He's like,
Huck throws that thing through the air to stop his van or
and
whatever.
And he's able to stop him. But my favorite part of this entire book was how he's like, I'll be back. I'm going to continue looking for you, chase you down. He's just like, and he makes fun of Huck for being, you know, he calls him simple or whatever. He says, you know, he's a gas station attendant, you know, he's nothing. And she's just like, what does she say? Because her ability is telling people something.
Yeah. She like puts her hands on the professor's head and mine. He's like, you know, you're going to forget everything you know about science.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Forget about science, basically. And,
yeah.
And they go back to their town.
This was my favorite part of the book. He's like, oh, my gosh, I forgot to do... I got to start getting back to my doing a good deed a day.
Yeah, he forgot. Like, he was just like, oh, I got to get back. Okay, like, nothing was happening.
I've been so busy lately.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's...
$450 for
example. He's donating money to a political party and finding a cat. And then... At the end, he takes flowers to the reporter's door. Because
she was going to move. And he was just like, you know, he forgave her.
He's like, no hard feelings.
Yeah.
Oh,
Huck. Like, that was great.
I really like that.
And then the end, like, the final thing is the doctor, and he's working at a gas station. as a gas attendant.
Yeah.
Because he can't do anything. He forgot about science.
Right.
And it just went back to, you made fun of him, now you're doing it. You know? It was just a really nice story.
It was. I really enjoyed it.
You know, and the art, who was the artist?
Raphael Albuquerque.
And it was amazing.
Now, I tweeted him yesterday, and he didn't tweet back, or he didn't respond to it, which was a little sad, but he did an amazing variant cover for the Dark Knight Masteries.
Oh, okay.
I just thought, when I took it out of the box, I was just like,
he's got
wow.
variant cover.
Is it that one up there?
Yeah. Yeah, the white and green. Yeah. Just beautiful.
Oh, wow. But, it'll be really worth picking up.
Yeah.
You know, when it's in trade.
Yeah, it will be. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Black Eyed Kids.
I read that.
Number
that was
one.
Weird.
That
creepy.
That was creepy.
That was another one I sold out of real quick, and they're getting more in. So
it was good. You don't really know what's going on.
No.
No. It starts with, you know, there's a girl, sister and a brother, and the brother's having night terrors. And personally, that affected me because my brother used to have night terrors when I was little, and that scared the crap out of me when that would happen to him.
Yeah.
And that happens at the start of this book. And then this, there's like two kids, and they just have black eyes, and one of them goes into a convenience store at a gas station. I think it's a gas station. And just shoots the guy behind the counter, and then he just walks outside and kind of sits there smoking a cigarette. Well, when he goes in, he asks for a pack of smokes. Then he sits there outside waiting for the police to come. But it was
just weird. You just didn't know what was going on.
You know,
and then these kids just
coming. Yeah. But it was good, and
the
art was
creepy.
Excellent.
Well, somebody came and said that was based on an urban legend or something.
I don't know.
I'm not familiar with that.
It's weird because both this and Rough Rider were the $1.99 books, and it's like, I just don't know if they needed to do that, because maybe I sold more of them that way, but I certainly didn't order more because of that, because it's still a new company, you don't quite know what you're getting, so... I don't know
and
if that helped them.
I wasn't familiar with the creators either, really.
No, I know the name, but... It was familiar, but...
Joe Pruitt.
Yeah. Only because somebody was talking him up, but I think he was like an old horror writer or something.
Okay.
But yeah, that was good.
But that was good, yeah. Next. How about Back to the Future? Back to the Future number 7. I guess I have to talk about this one.
You don't have to.
I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about it. Because the last issue... It's 8 months after part 3.
Does it really matter? It's time travel. It could be at any time.
I guess you're right. Doc has disappeared into the future somewhere, and Clara writes a note to Marty telling him that. And then Doc shows up in like a deep sea diving suit in his secret lab. And he doesn't know who he is or where he is or anything. So in this issue, you know, they're trying to figure out, which Doc is this? They don't know who, is he from 1955? He knows who Einstein is, so he's not from 1955. Is this before he went to 2015? And so they must have tripped an alarm because the police come to Doc's secret laboratory. And then instead of taking... Marty was there in his van. His truck, I mean. And instead of taking the truck, there's another DeLorean there. And they drive off in the other DeLorean. I don't think it's a time travel.
It's just a regular DeLorean.
It's just a DeLorean. I was like, where did that come from? I guess he had another one. But Marty's truck is taken to the dump. The salvage yard, and they got to sneak in there to get him and to get it. And Needles is there, and at the end, you know, they have another, they're about to have another drag race. But the weird thing is, you know, they're trying to figure out where who this Doc is and what's going on. And Marty's all excited, like, we're back in the game now. I'm back in the game. I'm back in the time travel game. I miss Doc so much. I don't know if Marty would act that way. He never acted that way.
He was pretty well done.
I know. I think he was ready
just like,
to
give
up.
I'm done with time traveling. It's awful. It changes everything. You start.
But I don't know. I don't know if that exactly fit his character.
What you have to do is get an almanac and you start fading away. It's no good. Yeah.
But the next issue shows him in his Clint Eastwood outfit holding a hoverboard. So I don't know where it's going to go from here.
Somehow in the past, but in the future of the past. Which would technically be the present.
And read the Haunted Mansion, the last one. Haunted Mansion number 2. The kids, Danny is the boy. His grandfather died in an avalanche before they got to explore the Haunted Mansion together. And, you know, Danny finds out that his grandpa's spirit is in the Haunted Mansion and they're being kept there by this captain, by this evil spirit called the Captain, and they need Danny's help to free everybody. So this issue mainly takes place in that dining room, the Great Ballroom. If you know the attraction, if you've ever been on the attraction, you know that scene with all the ghosts.
Yeah.
Dancing mm-hmm. and yeah. flying around. And there's a lot of callbacks, you know, to the attraction. They have the dueling ghosts with the guns and the pipe organ and everything. So he meets one character, Pickwick, when he's one of the ghosts, and Danny's trying to get him to help, and Pickwick doesn't want to help him, but he offers to help him, you know, if Danny just tries to have fun, you know, in the Haunted Mansion while he's there. And he has so much fun. This was a left turn kind of. He has so much fun. He starts to forget why he's there, and it's, you know, his eyes glaze over a little bit.
It's not good.
It's okay. It's okay.
No Eddie Murphy though.
Hmm?
No Eddie Murphy.
There's no sign of Eddie Murphy. No. I never saw that movie. So that
it
saying
wasn't. It wasn't bad.
It wasn't okay. Movie, no.
They were trying to jump on the bandwagon of the Pirates of the Caribbean did so well. So why can't another amusement park ride do well? And
yeah,
that's where that came to be.
It hasn't been too bad. I mean, this could have been really, really horrible.
Yeah.
Considering, you know, it's a comic based on theme park attraction.
They've
but
been doing a lot of those though lately.
The Disney?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh
no.
That's how the oh no, that was Pat.
That's why there's a civil war.
I'm thinking that
Hulk split
his pants
into it's because of the paper it's made.
I'm leaving like that for shame now.
At least it wasn't your Negan origin story.
Careful. Gentle.
You just finished it.
Careful. The back cover rips off, too.
It does. It's got perforation on it.
That's all I got.
Okay.
Go to Pat.
Okay. Flash.
I didn't get to read it yet.
I was kind of...
What was that?
Like Flash Gordon.
Pat knew what it was. Flash. Savior of the universe.
Queen?
I was. I kind of incorporated it.
Okay. Yeah.
He does a lot of cocaine, and he married a teddy bear. Like, officiated the marriage of a teddy bear.
He's never seen Ted.
Yeah.
No, I've never seen Ted.
Tucker Buddies? We've been through this.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that's right, we have.
Yeah. So anyway, the Flash, it picks up right where the last issue left off with him getting arrested at Wally's school. And they go to book him at Central City Jail, and apparently Henry Allen had Girder, was going to break the Flash out because Henry now knows that the Flash is Barry. So he goes to do that using overload and everything kind of goes awry. Flash leaves, runs into the Rogues again, and then we find out the Rogues are working for someone else. And the big reveal is they're working for the Riddler somehow. I don't understand.
He's jumping all over books.
And that's what I'm saying. I don't
Secret
understand
Six
why
was
they're
a villain, wasn't he? Secret Six or maybe Suicide Squad. One of them had
something like that.
Riddler is a villain for a little while.
Yeah. So it seemed very out of place, out of nowhere. Although, you know, you kind of picked up on it, but it just didn't make a whole lot of sense. And then they did a backup story with Wally West, where the dead future Wally visits Wally in the present to tell him he's going to inherit Flash's powers, all that. It was just really weird.
Huh.
Not especially well done. I don't know. I'm kind of.
I thought that went over the bar.
I would be done with Flash if it wasn't for the fact that you know, we're 51 issues into it, or 50 issues into it, and I know it's ending. Otherwise, I probably just drop it at this point. So it is what it is. Robin, Son of Batman. Is anybody else still reading that?
I didn't read it. I had it. I kind of stopped. It's not that important anymore to me.
No, and it really isn't.
I'm really hoping, but I'm hoping Super Sons is a better book. But being that they're getting the creative team back to normal on that one, instead of the artist doing it. The artist is still doing it, right?
Yeah,
he's still writing it too. It's okay. It's not like it's horrible, but it's just. Not as interesting.
No, it's not as interesting. They're going, you know, he's trying to protect all these artifacts that he got during the Year of Blood. And so apparently no one who was the girl that was with him, she apparently was a spy for this. I think it was nobody. Nobody. She was a spy for this other group that's trying to take over, who somehow is also a kid that's running this whole thing. It's kind of weird. At the end, though, Batman shows up and kind of saves Damian. And, you know, it was one of those, oh, Father, I knew you would come back to help me. And they realize that they're going to need him and Talia in order to defeat this group, and you know, he made them promise they weren't going to fight with one another, they were just going to help him.
You okay there, Slappy?
Keep going, sir.
Okay. Not a great series.
No, it was okay at the beginning, like when he was going on a mission every issue, and it was a new every issue kind of thing.
This would have worked better as a 6-issue mini.
Yes.
Than it did.
And this story didn't have to exist.
Right. Well, yeah, that too. Blizz Whiz.
Yeah.
James Bond. Yeah, anybody else read that?
I read that, yeah.
Okay, I was going to say, I thought everybody else was reading that. This was the last issue of the Varger story.
He's not reading
it. I thought
the first one, but yeah, I just...
It ended in a manner similar to how a James Bond movie would end. I would say... was much more graphic than what you're used to.
The movies,
yeah. Certainly than the movies, but I mean, it, you know, pretty graphically blows people's heads off. And there's even one scene where, or, you know, one panel where it's showing like it does a CSI thing where it shows the bullet traveling through an X-ray of the head. And then you see the guy laying there.
They've been doing that a lot in that book.
Yeah.
It is. It really works for that.
But I thought that it just ended very abruptly.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like it was just too easy. And, you know, there was no challenge. Like, you know, when you think of a James Bond movie, he never gets to the head guy that easy. There's always like a henchman or something like that he has to fight, get his ass kicked. And he somehow, you know, using trickery, a magic watch or whatever, gets out of that, and then goes on to fight the main guy. And that didn't happen. This was much more straightforward. I don't want to say realistic, but almost realistic, where he knew where he had to go. He just did what he had to do.
Yeah, it was a very quick read. There wasn't much word balloons. It was, you know, basically
mostly action panels.
But I thought the art was great, and
yes,
and the layout and the layouts and everything was really cool stuff.
Yeah,
and as the I like the lines, the boat's going down. The guys, you'd like, you sunk my battleship.
Yeah, that was that was very punny, like you would expect from a James Bond movie. Yeah. So that was okay. But it was what it was. But this isn't ongoing, so we do get a new...
Yeah, Warren Ellis is staying on it, too, for at least the next arc, I guess.
Yeah. Like I said, it was good. It was just... I thought it kind of ended a little abruptly.
Okay.
Lucifer.
I didn't get to read it.
Okay. So...
Last week, there was just so many books...
I actually just read it today.
Sorry. I'll try to get them to...
I think I had 17 books, plus one of them was 4 issues in one. Yeah. So it was just
A lot.
But I really wanted to read that one, the 4 issue one.
So we find out who killed God.
Which one did you do?
And it was Gabriel. And somehow he doesn't remember it. So at one point he goes... back to heaven and confronts Metatron about he thinks that he's the one that killed God, and then he sends Gabriel crashing back down to Earth, but he doesn't get hurt, and he's supposed to be human, and then by not getting hurt, realize, okay, wait a second, he has his angel powers. And then we find out he was... Lucifer kind of walks him through the whole thing, and he realizes, hey, wait a second, I was the one to kill God. But he doesn't understand, or, you know, he doesn't know why he did it or why he doesn't remember doing it. So that's where the book's headed next. Kind of interesting. I originally picked this up because the TV show, completely different than the TV show in a lot of different ways. But still good. And the only other one that I'll talk about is Shaft.
Damn right.
He's a complicated man. So in this, a couple issues ago, he was taking a job where he's consulting on a movie that's like it's a blaxploitation movie. And, you know, it's funny because they got the actor who's just, you know, talking the most jive you can, and he's totally off, and then he'll break character, and he's like this British actor, oh, jolly good sir, and all this. So that's, you know, and he's talking to Shaft about how he can improve the dialogue.
So I can't help thinking of stereotype to another. I speak jive.
Yeah. And that's actually what I thought about.
This is Cleaver.
Yeah. So, you know, Shaft, of course, is complaining because he hasn't gotten paid for his consulting job yet, and the producer's telling him that, you know, well, my investor's coming later today, you'll get your money. Why don't you go help his production assistant or whatever go over dialogue? And, of course, you know, it's a woman, so he helps her
Does
out.
It.
Yeah, he's Shaft. there's a lot of jokes in there, which is pretty
Shows
good.
Shows her his namesake.
Yeah, exactly. That's actually one of the jokes. So
see, well, I can write this.
Yeah. Then we find out that this investor is the porn producer from the first issue that almost tries to kill Shaft. So. He was, this porn producer, you know, thought that he was going to get his money back in like 2 weeks. And the other, you know, the directors, of course, oh, no, we're making art, you know, that type of deal. So they take the star. He's like, if I don't have my money in 24 hours, I'm killing him. So, you know, at that point, Shaft's like, you know, he finds out that it's the porn producer, so of course he's pissed that he just got set up, and he's like, well, you know, I guess I got to go find him, whatever, and that's the end of the issue. I don't like this arc as much as I like the first arc, but it's still been entertaining, if nothing else. I do miss in the first arc, he always did like a playlist that, you know, for like, you should be listening to these songs when you read it. Yeah, he doesn't do it in this, but that's cool. So,
while you're reading it, you're just like, oh, wait. I gotta check mine.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of the songs I had on iTunes, so I could just, you know, listen to it.
That's awesome.
So that's what I read.
That's better than the scratch and sniff.
Strawberry shortcake.
No, they had. I don't know what he gave him because I think they came later.
Man hardest.
But
what's he writing?
Fight Club 2 had those scratch and sniff.
I can't even imagine what Fight Club would have.
Yeah, I don't even know what they. Yeah, I almost. Didn't
I'd be afraid to. Yeah, exactly.
So, okay, well, it's my turn. I only have one because I've talked about three of them. The one I want to talk about is Obi-Wan and Anakin number 4. Did you read that, Dave?
Yeah, I read that, yeah.
I've liked this book. I'm surprised I liked it. And I think my problem with the book, you know, at first when I thought an Obi-Wan and Anakin book was that, you know, the first thing that always comes to your head is the prequels. And I thought it was going to be like, it would be okay, I guess. But it is. It's been a decent story.
Yeah.
You know, to sum it up, they've been called, the Jedi, Obi-Wan and Anakin have been called to a planet by distress signal. This planet knows nothing of Jedis at all. They still want to check it out. This planet is basically at war at all times. There's one group called the Opened, one called the Closed.
Right.
They've just been fighting. They hate each other. According to them, you know, they destroyed the planet. You know, their atmosphere is no good. They have to wear masks, you know, and the surface is mutated. Like, a bunch of people have been mutated over the years of living there. Mm-hmm. But Obi-Wan and Anakin kind of join up with one group group from the Open, one from the Close. So they have, like, I forget which one's which right now. But there's a mother and daughter, I think they are, I believe.
Yeah.
And then there's this guy from the other group, and they have to work together to, because they want to find the distress signal. Well, it turned out they were leading them to the distress signal so they could figure out where these things they've been calling sky gifts have been coming from. And they think that's the planet, like, giving them to them or something. I don't know what they think, but... they're trying to find that. The one group, the mother and daughter group, figure out that Anakin can fix things. And they kidnapped him in the last issue. And they took him to their place. And they, you know, the guy from the opposing group was just like, once they go in there, you're never going to find them. Find Anakin again. Anakin goes there. They're like, he can fix all this stuff. Check this out. He fixed this one thing of theirs. They put it in the machine, and it's a bunch of, like, mecha suits that they're using. Now they can defeat their opponents, the other side. And that's what they wanted him for. And they can care less, like, what's going on with their planet. They just want to be at war because they've lived, at, you know, most of their lives they've been at war.
Yeah.
So that was kind of, you know, it's just been it's a good story. Once they figure out the distress signal, they lead them there, and they figure out that it's this woman who's been underground, and she remembers before all this war, and, you know, she wants to make the world how it is, but she doesn't believe it can be brought back without, you know, the other groups just disappearing. But it's good. It has been a decent, you know, Star Wars story. My favorite part about this book is actually the story dealing with Anakin and Emperor Palpatine.
I like those parts of the story, yeah.
Yeah, and he's a Supreme Chancellor at that point, yeah. Palpatine. And they, just their discussions, you could see him taking an interest in Anakin to be an apprentice later on. And Anakin, an interesting thing about it, in this this issue, Anakin decides, he tells, you know, I've never heard of this in any of the stories.
Yeah.
Anakin decides to take a break from the Jedi.
Yeah.
And he wants to go, like, traveling, basically. It's like Anakin decided to go to Europe, you know, that day. And and that's what he did. That's
National Lampoon's Anakin.
Yeah, Anakin goes to Anakin. And Obi-Wan's kind of hesitant about it, but he's just like, well, he's got to do it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know how that's going to work out exactly. But
yeah,
was
that was weird. I never...
It's not like they couldn't do that. Like,
yeah.
You can step away if you want. His reasoning was, as a child, you know, this is all he's ever known. You know, some guy came from space, you
right,
know,
right.
took him for away from his mother, and that's all he's known as the Jedi wow. Order since. So he knows nothing of anything else.
She was like Jon Snow.
I suppose. I've never seen Famous Earth. Never watched it. Is that a program?
You live the sheltered life.
Apparently so.
I got all these comic books from something I read.
I read the comic books, and I managed to watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I read the books and read the comics.
Yeah, but
well, not the Game
the
of Thrones comics.
The last one's not even
but
coming out, is it?
There's two more.
Oh, so.
If he doesn't die first.
Yeah. The way he lives his lifestyle, Colin. Yeah. Hello.
Wenches.
But yeah, Obi-Wan and Anakin, surprisingly, has been good. So don't judge it until you actually read it, because I know a lot of people, including myself, have judged it just because it's Obi-Wan and Anakin. It's Obi and Anakin.
It's
so.
another
Obi and Annie. But that's what I read.
Okay,
what'd
I got,
read,
I have two more. One Joyride, which I kind of half talked about last week and this week.
Yeah.
Neat idea. Basically, the world, under threat of attack from outer space, has put a shield around the Earth. And you can't see through it. So the people growing up have never seen stars, have never seen the sun, just this big ball in the sky that's been created. And this girl, through it can't be an offline bulletin board, but not through the mainframe that the world government controls, has been talking to somebody outside there and is intrigued and wants to see what's outside this shield. And one of her friends works for the government on this big space station that's up in the sky that controls the shield. So she convinces him, let's go. Let's escape. She's made contact with somebody. So she wants to go up there and meet him. So they have this plan and they go up and they get onto it, and it was kind of neat as they're on this with this big plan to get through. He's some sort of high muckety muck, and she's just kind of a person.
Yeah.
You know, nothing special. But so they get through this door, and it's like on the moon, or the moon is embedded in the thing, something. But like there's news broadcast saying, oh, we prevented 5 attacks today and stuff, and you don't know if it's real or not. But so they get through, and right before that, there's this guard, and she's brand new private, and gets stationed here. And the guy's like, okay, this is your door to guard. She's like, so wait a minute. I have to guard a door that nobody goes in or out of in an unused part of the space station. Great. Mom's going to be so proud of me. And all of a sudden, she looks and sees two of the spacesuits are missing, looks out the window, sees these two making a run for it. So she then goes, oh, it's my job to stop them. So she, you know, has something to do. So she goes running after him and knocks him off. But he falls, you know, and so they're
saying.
Yeah, I know. So they're kind of
talking about Tokyo guys again.
Mr. Flat. Yeah. So she confronts them, you know, you have to stop. And then all of a sudden the spaceship shows up and kind of beams them all up into the spaceship. And so it turns out then that the spaceship wasn't like a friend trying to get them. They were going to enslave them. So now, hey, I got two and now even 3 human slaves. I'm going to make so much money.
It was like a weird slime monster or something, though.
Yeah, he was really pretty nasty. Did you read it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And then it turns out she actually has been talking with the robot guard, and he takes out the bad guy, and it basically ends with the three of them, and then they're Trent convincing the guard, going, hey, come on, look at what a great adventure this could be.
It's the great space.
And so basically it's the three of them and the robot who knows how to control the ship, and it ends with these guys all going off into outer space to explore. And that's where I was upset. I'm like, how can you have these guys exploring outer space that they've never been to and have it wrap up in 3 issues? That seemed really, I mean, I don't know how long it could go, but certainly more than a 4-issue series. There was so much more. Did you read Venus?
Yes.
That's like Venus. Make that a 10-issue.
Well, that's the thing. Or even a 6-issue. Well, but the way Venus wrapped up, it was like, that's not really an ending.
No, no. So this one, I think, you know, definitely. Well, even also they did Broken World that Rich and I both read. And it kind of wrapped up a little neat and clean, and it could have been more. So that's where I tweeted, just saying, you know, there's no way this is a 4-issue story. So I was very happy that they decided to extend that.
Yeah. What would have happened?
They could have done the first issue in four.
No, the first, okay. the next 2 issues, nothing would have happened. And the 4th issue, a bunch of stuff would have happened off panel. And then somehow they would have magically wrapped it up.
Or in an issue with the polar squirrel girl.
Yeah. You
know. Yeah. The squirrel girl tie in.
Yeah.
And then the last one I read,
it has to be in their important book.
Yeah.
I just read this morning trying to. It's always my Tuesday night, Wednesday morning is always tough because it's like, do I read the number ones to talk about to sell, or do I read books for the podcast? So this one I literally read for the podcast.
Okay.
But it was Karnak number 3. And, wow, lots of big ideas in this. Ellis, it's kind of like he has all these neat ideas, and they're like, hey, do you want to write a book? Sure. Who do you want to write? I don't care. How about Karnak? Okay. And then he throws these bizarre concepts into it. Like the Moon Knight one, where it was the guy in the dream center who was decomposing and people were breathing in his dreams and stuff. It's like, that didn't have to be Moon Knight. That could have been anything, yeah. you know. And he just incorporated into that. This one did that where he's talking about universes, and it was just really, really high concept stuff. Very
like
cool.
Reed Richards building universes and throwing
kind of. Like, he's just, it's like a random conversation in this coffee shop saying there's, you know, this world and your world, and there's the world, but you're also a world, and all this stuff. And then it turns out there's this thing of the solitary shadow. And he said, and this is actually, you know, a null world where it's nothing. It's nothingness, and it's waiting to be created. And that's who this one mutant is. They think this is the person who can create the universe.
Is a mutant or an inhuman?
No, he's looking for this kid who might be an inhuman. You don't know. Karnak technically has never been exposed to the Terrigen Mists, so it's almost like he's a mutant inhuman. I don't know what his deal with
is. He's a mutant, and he gets the Terrigen Mist, it'll kill him.
Well, no, but I'm saying he has these powers to see flaws, but he's never been exposed to the mist. So he's an inhuman. He grew up an inhuman, but he's never been exposed. That was issue 2 that made me really confused. So it's just a lot of big ideas. It's interesting, but yeah, I have no idea where it's going. But it's good. It's been very good. And there's this one thing where they're going to find this thing and they see all these people and they're making this really weird sound. And it was like, he's like, it takes a lot of practice to make you sound like I forget the line, but it was like a sick cat or something. And they're all making this weird sound. And then they all look up at the shield thing and all of a sudden they all like start projecting like energy from their mouths at it. And it's hitting it like shots. And he's like, well, hang on, just let me listen to it for a second longer. And then, do you have speakers? Yes. So then he says something, because he could see the flaw in their sound, and he had, like, the anti-sound that made all their heads explode when he made whatever sound into the microphone. It's, like, just all these really big ideas, really odd. So, fascinating, a really fascinating book. It'll be interesting to reread it when it's done, instead of, you know, in the chunks, because you're forgetting stuff, and there's stuff in here you shouldn't be forgetting, you know, to go from one book to the next. So especially when the first one came out in October.
And you heard it here that you had a Marvel book.
Yeah, that I liked. You said, I don't dislike Marvel Comics. I dislike the people in charge of Marvel Comics.
You dislike the company, not the books.
Right, exactly. I have a problem with the way they do business. I don't have a problem with the books, per se. Yes. And that's always hard. Everybody's like, you hate Marvel. I don't hate Marvel. I don't hate Spider-Man. I don't hate X-Men.
I wish they would
do things better. And I wish they'd treat us more like these small press guys. Treat me as a partner. Treat me as somebody you like, as opposed to somebody that you just want to
sell. Being that you guys can act.
Well, like because we're a necessary evil to them. We're a step in between them to you. DC's doing a whole lot of not.
What would their step
right
be
too,
without you?
Their practices are driving
would
me insane.
Would they just deliver it or have their own store?
If they could, that's why they were pushing digital and all that stuff. Right now, they're making us a little bit crazy with this rebirth. The orders go in tomorrow, and for the rebirth, DC Universe Rebirth special, it's not going to be on FOC. Our orders are whatever they are tomorrow. But and then they said there was a variant that was very limited. So, depending on how you ordered it. Well, then they just clarified, like, on Tuesday, that the limited variant is actually a 1 in 100 variant. Oh, okay. Yet there's another variant that we can order as many as we want, but it's not in any order book. You just have to order by this code before Thursday. It's like, okay, could you make this as hard as it possibly can for us to figure this stuff out?
Is it the Deadpool?
Yeah. Well, did you see they're doing a Deadpool Rebirth variant?
Yeah,
it's a 1 in 52 Deadpool Rebirth variant.
They can't help themselves.
No, they can't.
They have to. Single time.
But I thoroughly enjoyed Jimmy Palmiotti this week gave a little bit of a knife twist back at Marvel where there's a new character in Harley Quinn this week. And his name is Red Tool. And that's Harley's new girlfriend or boyfriend.
Red Tool.
So it was just funny seeing Rob Liefeld get all mad about that. I'm like, but you also had John Constantine in Omega. I texted you guys that picture. Yeah. I mean, it can't not be John Constantine. Since when does Quasar, is he blonde, spiky hair, wearing a brown trench coat and a tie? You know, it was
constant.
So they're going back and forth, certainly. But it was just funny seeing Rob Liefeld get a little indignant about Red Tool. I'm like, so they're ripping off a character that you ripped off in the first place, although you claim, oh, there's no comparison between...
Yeah, Slay Wilson and Wade Wilson?
No.
Totally different.
Total coincidence. I didn't check to see if Red Tool had pouches, though.
Probably. Why, you know, what else could you have done with that character?
So, that's all I got. Those were the last two I read.
Well, what's coming out next week, Colin?
Coming out next week, another big week. That's why I was sitting there. Somebody was talking. I decided to count because, like, when I used to do the board, I'd always count so I could measure how many I had to get. And there's a lot coming out. But the highlights of next week: Three Floyds Alpha King. This is an image book, and it's a new Simon Bisley book. So people really like him. One for Josh is 4080 number one.
Well, that's next week.
That's next week, sir.
That's soon.
Only a few covers. Only a few covers. Look at that! What the heck?
So you aren't getting the time capsule then.
I better be getting the time capsule.
You aren't. If it's...
No, it's supposed to... You're opening it at the end.
I thought it went to the... Yeah, I thought it went to, like, the...
I thought it counted down to the start of the event.
I thought it was countdown through the event to the end. Really? Then I didn't get one. Well, no, because I just emailed the beginning of March or something. But when did I show I emailed that? April.
Early April.
Yeah, so that would have been a little short. I'll ask Andy on Monday. I'll yell at him. It'll be public. We'll record.
It was going to be so exciting.
Yeah. Oh, well. I can't. That's strange
cool
that I wouldn't have gotten
it. If, like, the time capsule contained, like, something dealing with the last part of the book, though.
That was my impression. But
that would be really cool.
But
even if it was the last book, like, you had all your orders for that book. Mm-hmm.
The last issue could more easily slip date than the first issue.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so I don't know. I asked for one. Spider-Man number 12. Batman Superman, which is now they've changed it from Super Team to Final Days in the solicit. Beast of Burden, What the Cat Dragged in One Shot. That's, is it Evan Dorkin Jill Thompson? Black Widow number 3, that one's been doing well. Cinema Purgatorio. This one has me totally confused. I'm hoping, sadly, to find out more when it shows up next week. Basically, it has all these different covers. But in the previews book, for the different covers, it has a different description for the story in each one. And so I don't know if each book is... Well, I don't know if each book is different or what exactly they're doing with this one, so I ordered probably more than I should have. Because, like, it has Cinema Purgatorio number 3, and then you have Cinema Purgatorio cover, and then A More Perfect Union. It says Max Brooks and Michael DePascali bring Max's heavily researched period, and then Code Pru, Modded, Vast. So each one has a different cover, but I don't know if each one's a different book.
You were right.
What?
Time Capsule.
For the end?
Yeah.
So I might get it next week.
It says shipping in advance of 4,180, which it hasn't shipped in advance.
Yeah.
Time capsules are designed to his countertop displays. Vian is packing the capsules with exclusive mystery items tied to the outcome of the crossover, okay. and not giving out the combination to open them until the final issue arrives in stores in late August.
There we go. Okay, so there's time.
Way to go.
Boom. So hopefully I'll get one. I'm like their best friend. So. No, I'm kidding.
Are you okay?
I'm okay. So yeah, the Cinema Purgatorio, I don't quite know what to make of it. So hopefully I didn't screw up. No, wouldn't be way. Surprising. Daredevil Punisher number one next week. Four-part mini. It's coming. Deadpool Massacre, which is the Google...
The Massacre,
yes. It is the English version of the Spanish version, but they've translated it... They translated it into Spanish using Google Translator or something, and now they're translating it back. So it's been translated from English to Spanish, and now back to English.
Time out there, Hoss.
Yeah. Yeah.
Marvel is a multi-billion dollar company.
Yeah.
They have zero Spanish-speaking people.
But
there.
Where's the fun in that?
Isn't that kind of like if you keep it, making copies
Google
of a copy?
Right, that's the whole point. It's going to be kind of
free.
Fun.
And a boy isn't.
But Detective 52, the last issue of this detective run.
That's true.
Discipline number 3, which number 2 was interesting, so I'm looking forward to this one. Is in a what? I mean, you, I need to read Tokyo Ghost, but this one was a little explicit as they went to the bondage club and stuff. Dungeons and Dragons number 1. This is fun because I think it's Jim Zub who's very much into Dungeons and Dragons. He did what was that book he did? Skull Kickers, which is very much a D&D type book. So he really talked about that on that comic. The live streaming convention thing. Empress number 2, that's the Stuart Immonen, Mark Miller book, which was really good. Flash 51, Green Arrow 52, the last one of that run. Green Lantern 52, again, last issue of that run. Yeah, he's going to, I got to finish this or I'm going to freak out. Hellboy and Hell number 9, we're getting close to the end of Hellboy. Invincible Iron Man number 9. Okay. Thank you. Invincible Iron Man number 9, which is another Road to Civil War 2. We have King's Quest number 1, which is a Dynamite book.
That made it creepy somehow.
Yeah. Dave number 5. Oh, I'm sorry. Klaus number 5. Or Claus number 5.
Dave, you didn't
want to
see it, right?
No. Don't show that to Dave. Lady Mechanica,
Dave
the next series.
Innocent.
Lost Boys of West Abbey.
Moon
Knight number 2. This one I found strange. New Avengers 11 is designated in a Avengers standoff book, which just wrapped up today. So I'm not quite sure, unless this one shipped late, which wouldn't surprise me. Punisher number 1, new Punisher series coming out. Comes out number 1 next week. Renato Jones 1%. This is Kari Andrews, which sounds interesting. He had a lot of fun with this. They've been doing monthly conference calls through Comics Pro. The first one they had Nick Spencer and Steve Lieber for The Fix on, and the last one they did was Kari Andrews for Renato Jones. It felt a little bad. I think it was I was one of two people on the conference call. But they do it on a Thursday afternoon. It's kind of nice. I enjoy it. I just get on my cell phone, Speaker Tim enjoyed it because he listened to it. Or maybe it was Friday because you weren't here.
No, I was here when you that happened.
Oh, were you? Okay. So that was neat. So I flat out double my order when they do that just to give them the support, for making the effort. So hopefully this one's interesting. Rough Riders number 2. Now, I'm only getting in 4 copies next week, but I do have a reorder for more coming, and they should be.
God,
I did an advance order.
Man.
But I am getting more number 1. So if you missed number 1, I have more number 1s coming. So, Smosh number 1. No clue. This is some internet thing. It's supposed to be big. We'll see.
I wouldn't even order that.
Spider-Gwen number 8, the next part of the Spider-Women story. Star Trek Manifest Destiny number 2.
I heard the first one was pretty good
for
that.
Poe Dameron number 2 next week.
The Spider-Woman book?
No, Star Trek Manifest Destiny.
Oh, okay.
Pay attention.
Jeez. New, we talk about
Thunderbolts number 1, new one of that. Uncanny X-Men, the second part of the Apocalypse War. I really like number 1, so I'm intrigued on this one. Vikings number 1, that's a Titan book, based on the TV show. I haven't watched it, but supposedly. I know I had a couple people asking about this. Walking Dead 154. Weavers number one. This is a Cy Spurrier one. I believe this is from Boom. Really creepy looking. About it, like a spider like climbing into a guy's mouth. I don't know what's going on. The cover was a little creepy.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
That's absolutely terrifying.
Okay, you're welcome. Good luck sleeping.
I hate spiders. Really hate spiders.
That's it. I mean, not it. I mean, there's a ton of stuff coming next week. Absolute ton of stuff. I'm having fun. Tomorrow is my reorder. I had ordered in a bunch more of the dollar books. Valiant did come through. I'm getting those, the number ones, Valiant.
I was a little worried they weren't going to get
them. So did I. I emailed them, and I guess there was some confusion. But yeah, just so you can see, this is how much I ordered additional dollar books. That's True Believers, The Vertigo. I know you can't see at home.
Can't see.
I'm sure, image number one.
Close your eyes and let's paint the picture for you.
Imagine. But basically.
Imagination. Yeah.
My reorder of issues, like the one that came today, which was just my reorder of stuff I sold the previous week, is normally about 100 to 120 things between comics trades.
Yeah.
That's what I reorder every week. My reorder on this one is 1,300
items. Whoa!
So that's for the dollar books to give away the books that, yeah. And so
very
not
nice of you.
I try. See, and here, look, this is even better. And so you can see that's how much that's costing me to give away.
That's
see how much I like you guys.
That is substantial.
Yes.
Is that the cost for all of your free combo day stuff or just the dollar books?
That was just my, that was the dollar books and my reorder. So have that.
The other thing, yeah.
But add, I think my first wave is 1600 for the books in the other room.
So. You spend 50 cents on a dollar book?
Yeah.
That's more than I thought.
That was this whole thing about that.
I remember the whole thing with Valiant, yeah, but yeah. It's. I would have thought, like, a quarter.
That's what I asked.
Yeah, that's what he was asking.
I was trying to get them to do that, but nobody would listen to me. I even emailed the head of Free Comic Book Day and said, you know, not for this year, but maybe next year. And he's like, you know, they're already losing money on these dollar books as it is, so I doubt they'd want to be willing
to
lose more.
But they make money if they don't jump.
I understand. I tried. Nobody's listening.
But it's a reprint.
I know. How can they do...
It's almost as high as when you said full out.
No, I'm just saying.
You got to change the system from the inside. You have to join.
I'm trying. I'm working on it.
You have to join
a
publisher.
But like Valiant, they'll send them to me for free. Tell me they're not taking
a
loss on that. Oh, I know. Valiant is absolutely
awesome.
But
they're taking a loss, but what are they going to bring in? You know, how many people will they bring in?
Exactly.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully. It doesn't necessarily mean that. But
exactly.
I hope
it does. We'll just be here next week talking up Valiant.
They know how much I support them.
Everyone tries it, likes it.
Likes it, absolutely.
People are always hesitant to try it.
We'll push it on Free Comic Book Day while we're here.
Oh, yeah. We'll all be here pushing it.
Push it real good.
I was waiting for somebody.
Baby, baby. Sorry.
Now I got creepy. You're supposed
what
to end
worse?
It that far.
Adam's, like, creepy, like, pointing, or you're little,
I wasn't pointing at what was on the page.
Yeah, but I'm just
going, look at the pee-pee. Look at the pee-pee. That's what he was doing.
At no point did we say what we were talking about, and now you just finally let the cat out of the bag, so to speak.
Yeah. You're out of control, Colin.
Okay, sorry.
I was pointing at the panel itself.
Just say your damn line.
You were pointing at
me. No, I can't. No, it's not ready yet. We're not time for
so, if you're looking for me, you can find me here at the store, or www.pittsburghcomics.com, mastered by Josh. Facebook at /Pittsburgh Comics and on Twitter at @PGH Comics. I'll try to do more Instagram. We'll probably do a bunch of Instagram coming up leading up to Free Comic
you'll do,
Day.
You'll do
and
a
on
live,
Free Comic Day.
A live video.
Well, we'll do a Periscope.
On Facebook.
Yeah. I think that's about it. So, I'm recording the new TV show. Try to do an interview, so I'm kind of excited about that. On Monday.
Comic Reviews Theater.
I'll try to pick something good. Yeah. I will. See if I can find 4000 AD number one. That'll be good. 4001 AD number one. Sorry.
Well, if he's doing it Monday.
Yeah, you're not going to have it Monday.
The preview might be up.
Oh.
It's online. We just read it off the screen from Comic Book Resources.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't have the actual book today.
So you should do the translated one.
one that's translated multiple times.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great, yeah.
I would love to hear your Deadpool voice.
Derpy derp derp.
Channeling his inner Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
That's a podcast.
We'll talk to you next week. See ya.